much about.
The harsh reality is you're not very good at this. And the sooner you accept this, the sooner you will be good at it.
Yeah.
So we have work to do, don't we?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
It's time now for a full look at your forecast with Astrid. Maybe we can canoodle before you get into it about,
We're not going to be canoodling. What?
Oh, I thought canoodle meant chat.
Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
Don't worry about her. She's just an attention seeker.
Now, if you were a cat, give me a little bit, give me a breakdown of what your daily life would entail.
No!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is the worst.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Start over and speak differently.
Roll another one.
I loathe you in ways that are unquantifiable.
Just like the other one.
I've got no patience with it. I will not tolerate
it. This one seems to be about to quit.
Honestly, I cannot recommend this to anyone.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
That sounds great. Let me know how that goes.
Roll another one.
Yeah, it's tick-tock, tick-tock.
Just like the other one.
This is the work of a lunatic.
This one seems to be about to end.
Death to me!
I don't have another cent.
I'm sorry, someone farted and it came out sounding like words.
Hearing some language that I don't like.
Just pass it around.
Why do I need all of these buttons?
Well, don't join my friend.
But I've got herpes in my butt.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now,
when I was a kid, I could never get up the rope in gym class. So this is my rope.
Our feature presentation.
I don't understand.
The pool is his rope.
What was that from?
It was the great Louis Anderson on that diving. Was it a diving show?
Yeah, it was a diving show.
Diving with the Stars?
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah.
This is my rope.
So he was going through something. He was working out some issues as a kid.
I'm just saying jumping in a pool is a lot easier than climbing a rope.
Yeah, it's not anywhere near.
No.
It's not your rope. That's the thing. It isn't. It's water.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 10th of October.
Damn it! Damn it!
We were so close. Felt like that was going to be the one, too.
Bean says that because Muggs didn't have that clip up for earlier in the week and said if he blew it one more time this week, we could fire him on the spot.
That's what he said.
And that's not smart.
No.
So, got that going for you.
But he had it.
Yep.
Hey, this story may be too good to be true. It might be urban legends that tend to get recycled, particularly in the British papers from time to time. But I want it to be true, so let's assume.
All right.
This is a Spanish woman who had her bachelorette party, or as they're known in Europe, hen night. She had her hen night with a bunch of her girlfriends, and they went out and they do what girls do. And, yeah, there was a stripper involved.
Sure.
And apparently it was a secret to everyone involved, including the other ladies at the party, and certainly to her husband, that she ended up hooking up with the stripper.
Oops.
The male stripper, which sometimes, you know, sometimes happens. Sometimes those bachelor parties and bachelorette parties get out of control and people go, hey, it's my last night as a single person. I'm just going to go for it. What's the downside? Well, in this case, she got pregnant by the stripper.
No.
Sweet.
Now, ordinarily, you might think, yeah, but how can you – I mean, it's not even on the husband's radar that she's been with somebody else and they just got married. 9 months later, she has a baby. That seems about right.
Yeah, timing-wise, it's fine.
yeah, why could it not just be the husband's baby? Well, apparently in this case, both the stripper and the baby are dwarves.
Yay!
Oh!
Oh! I thought you were going to go black.
Me too. Dwarves. I'm going to need that.
The woman's husband believed the child was his until it was born. Of course, the wife didn't know.
Wait, can't you have a
dwarf? Yes, that's part of what's confusing to me about this story is regular-sized people have dwarves all the time. Sometimes it just comes out of nowhere, right?
Huh, that's what I would think.
But in this case, the questions were asked, hey, there's no dwarfism in my family. How about yours? And they ended up, checking out the DNA on the baby and the stripper, and yeah, it's his kid. So that's
son of a gun,
son of a dwarf.
Nice. What?
Wow. Did her life take a turn?
Nobody knew that she had had sex with the dwarf stripper, but once she had her son in her arms, she broke down and confessed what had happened. As you can imagine, no one that sleeps with a stripper on her bachelorette party broadcast, or at least they try to take their secret to the grave. But she didn't have any choice once the baby came. So. I guess I have to ask, was it Brad?
That's a good question.
It turns out he is a lot of people's dream.
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
No. So, true or not true, you guys? Too good to be true?
Too good to be true.
Possible that it really happened?
No, I'm with you. It's too good to be true, so I don't buy it. But I want it to be true, so
I want it
believe.
To be true very, very much. Yeah.
And the other thing is,
rain pain down on these newlyweds, but it's so hilarious. I want it to be true so much.
But the other thing is, honestly, if you have the opportunity at a dwarf stripper, I mean, you sort of have to do that, right?
You got to go for it, yeah.
I mean, you have to, even just to tell your friends, for God's sakes.
Well, they talked to another stripper who works for the same group in this newspaper article, and he says that he's never even heard of any of his, any of his guys having sex with the bride. He says usually it's a laugh. You know, the stripper's there. Like, what they'll do is they'll blindfold the bride while a regular-sized hot guy is stripping. And then the joke is when she pulls the blindfold off, she realizes that it's been the dwarf that's been grinding up on her all this time. Usually it's a little bit of a joke. But as Lisa points out, there are a lot of women who are very turned on by the prospect of something different.
Right.
So, I don't know. I want it to be true so much.
I do, too. Let's believe.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is not my kind of comedy.
We are going to talk to Robin Lord Taylor, who plays the future Penguin. Thank you, Bea.
On TV's
on Gotham.
Yeah.
And there's been, what, 3 episodes now, I think?
Yes.
And he's a pretty major character in it.
He's the breakout star of the show.
I'm going to talk to him. Beggars, what's up? That's on today's show.
Why are you making more money than we are?
Right. How come you have better shoes than I do?
Seriously, where did you get that brand new car?
Why are you driving a new car? That's coming up today. We also have Chad Coleman, who is Tyrese.
Yes.
On a little show you might know that's coming back this Sunday called The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah! I love Tyrese.
Tyrese is awesome. Yeah. He seems like a genuinely good dude.
Yeah.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday, and we're going to talk to RJ Bell, as we do, from Las Vegas with his picks for the NFL Week number 6, and of course the road to the Super Bowl, which goes right through Phoenix and the Arizona Cardinals. Or not, either way. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Ahead of Dr. Drew, who's probably bringing another virus into the country, we'll talk to him just after 6. And ahead of the Showbiz Beat, we do have we have to respond to some listeners, Kevin, who have written in and need us to revisit something from our interview we did a few minutes ago with McCall, who sang the 2 Eyeballs song.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw this on Twitter, and I was very happy that something happened on the show. I didn't hear it. And the person who tweeted me said, this has got to be a moment with Bean. And I was like, yes!
What?
Somebody said something stupid, and it wasn't me.
Wow.
Awesome. Well,
that's why we missed it.
We should go to the tape. Now, McCall, for those who weren't listening, is the listener who sent us in his Halloween song. You know, we're looking for new Halloween songs this year. He was 10 at the time he recorded it, and it has really captured the imagination of our listeners. And it's called 2 Eyeballs. So we were talking to him about that song, and then Kevin asked what we thought was a curious question about a Halloween song. What did you do with this song? Did you play this for friends or family or anybody after you made it?
Yeah, some of my close friends and family definitely know this song. And I felt like I was just sitting on gold for 25 years.
Sure. Well, you were just waiting for this moment to get it on K-Rock. You were right. You were sitting on gold, and today's the payoff, my friend.
All right. At Thanksgiving every year, everybody would go, come on, play it.
So at Thanksgiving, they would be insisting that he play his Halloween song?
I wasn't thinking of it as a Halloween song as much as I was. He wrote an awesome song when he was 10, and they would make him sing it all year, I think, is what I meant with that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh.
So... You're standing by that?
I'm standing by that was my intention.
That you were aware we were discussing Halloween.
Yes, but if somebody in my family had written a song like that and I was aware of it, I would have them break it out every time we had some kind of family gathering.
So anytime the family gets together, even if it's well past Halloween, so 4th of July, you're all getting together for fireworks 4th of July, you would say, hey, McCall, where's that two eyeballs?
All right, I've given you the honest truth, and now I accept your scorn because that's stupid. You're right.
Kevin, God damn it.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Right. Let's take a look at the showbiz beat, and I start with some very sad news today, and that is that once again, in February for Super Bowl 49, the halftime entertainment will not be the great Weird Al Yankovic.
This has been Bean's personal campaign since the day he was born.
It has been. Because it's the right choice. Because it's the smart thing to do. Because it's who should be doing the halftime show this year and every year. I mean, I guess Katy Perry will be fine. And I like looking at Katy Perry.
Yeah, well, okay.
But it's no Weird Al.
No, but it's Katy Perry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's better than, like, The Who.
I agree.
Or some of the other old bands that they bring out.
She said in an interview recently, by the way, that I am not the kind of girl who would pay to play the Super Bowl because her name was among those that had been rumored. It was going to be her. We heard a couple of months ago it was going to be her or Coldplay or Rihanna. And then we heard the story that the NFL was going to be asking those artists to pay to perform. And when Katy was asked about it, she said, I'm not the type of person who would pay to play at the Super Bowl. So I don't know if that means she's, that's how it's going to work out. She does have a sponsorship partnership with Pepsi, who is also an NFL partner, so maybe Pepsi will pick up the tab.
Well, they did last year, didn't they?
Sponsored the halftime show, exactly, yeah. And they also helped her promote her movie earlier this year called Part of Me. So Katy Perry, I mean, at least she's current and contemporary and popular and has songs that we like.
And hot.
And it is kind of weird, though. I mean, remember for all those years after the Janet Jackson halftime show, it seemed like they wanted to stay away from anybody who had breasts?
Yeah. That was a shame.
That's when you got your Springsteens and your Tom Petty's and your Who's and everything because they want to make sure there were no wardrobe malfunctions.
Yeah, that was a bad decision.
So now it's been long enough that now we're going to put, Katy out there in her bikini or whatever, and who knows? Lightning could strike twice.
Yeah, I hope. You can only hope about that.
It's not good for New York.
What?
It's not good for America, and it's not good for the entire world. And so CBS, shame on you.
That's not our take.
Shame on you, CBS.
I'm perfectly happy with Katy Perry being the halftime of the Super Bowl. There's been a lot worse, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gwyneth Paltrow for a minute. She, of course, is separated now from Chris Martin, and he's dating Jennifer Lawrence. And Jennifer Lawrence is the best. But Gwyneth Paltrow, they have kids together, so Gwyneth Paltrow's not exactly sure that she wants Jennifer Lawrence around the kids.
Well, that's pretty normal,
agreed,
right?
Agreed,
As couples start to date again, you want to make sure somebody's, they're not going to have a rotating list of people to meet in the bedroom.
But she is.
Let's make sure that this is going to stick for a while before you start hanging out with the kids.
But she is Jennifer Lawrence.
Right.
Maybe the best human on the planet, right? Other than your Weird Al. But I'm just saying, what good can come of this meeting, do you think? I mean, do you think this is going to go smoothly? Hey, do you like kids? Yeah, I love them. Let's have some tea.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, there are some people that are able to be mature and get past that. I mean, Lisa, have you spent any time with your ex-husband's wife?
Yes, I love her. I like her more than him.
That's an example of it seems awkward. Now, their kids aren't involved there, but it seems awkward. But at some point...
We had dogs involved at one point.
Yeah, if you've moved on and he's moved on and there's no hard feelings, I think it can work.
I think for the most part it only works in the movies. But...
No, but I agree with Bean. And they did seem to part ways very amicably.
Almost too much, though. Didn't it bother anybody who's like
It does happen.
It was
though.
Too nice.
I think it's the happen. Best case scenario, especially with kids involved, is if it can be as civil as it appears to be, and they still spend a lot of time together as a family. I think it's great.
I agree, but I would also posit, is that the right word?
Yeah.
That 95% of people, it doesn't go that way. So but this is a big exception.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's tough for a lot of people because they're hurt. You know, they move on.
I'm saying I don't know that this needs to happen. I think Jennifer Lawrence should be able to do whatever she wants because she's the best.
Including kill Gwyneth Paltrow if that's what is necessary.
If that's what she wants.
And finally, what was it? About a week ago, we had a Jaden Smith song,
yes.
Blue Ocean. We played some of that, and Kevin, you thought it was one of the weirdest things you'd ever heard in your life?
Well, it was terrible, first of all, but then weird as well.
How do you describe his rapping style, Jaden Smith?
I don't know. He's got this weird, he's Bob Dylan. He's the new Bob Dylan, but he's a rapper.
Well, he put up a new song yesterday, you'll be happy to know. On his Sister Willow's SoundCloud page, she sings background on it, and it's him rapping about his feelings over a song you probably know from Pink Floyd called Breathe from Dark Side of the Moon. So if you want to hear a little bit of Jaden Smith and where he's at right now, here's what that sounds like. I assume this is just him with his laptop playing a Pink Floyd download, then he starts rapping. Don't be afraid to
Oh, you rapping on this? I bet you thought that you were body dish. You messing up a classic, how you deal with the Karate Kid.
See, it sounds like maybe he's talking to his haters there. You know, people who contacted him and said, hey, you screwed up the Karate Kid, and now you're messing with Pink Floyd?
It sounds slowed down. Is that really how he's doing it?
That's how he's rapping, yeah. Wow. The music sounds right, but he's talking really slow.
Bro, but what the heck was I to do? Now I see why Pia didn't side with you. That's why we spit these melancholy flows. Wear these melancholy clothes. Bring this melancholy everywhere it goes.
What do you think?
He's not really spitting anything.
No, he's not spitting a thing.
Look, here my whole thing.
Okay.
Why does he have a father who is a rapper? Granted, not a hardcore rapper, but Will Smith raps.
But he's good.
Why does he not have a father that sits him down and goes, stop it? That stupid song that you just did, it's bad. Don't do that. Do something else.
Doesn't Will Smith seem like the kind of guy who lets his son do whatever he wants?
Well
we
does
know that now.
Because he's been forcing him on us in the movies for a while. But it's a shame that Jaden doesn't have anybody to just tell him the truth, which is he's terrible.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing, though, is there are a million kids out there who are putting their raps up on YouTube every day, and they're all bad, but we only know about this one because he's Jaden Smith. I mean, he's just doing what 15-year-old kids do.
Right, but he's terrible.
Yeah, but like I said, so are most of the other kids, too. I mean, you're holding him to a higher standard because he's a celebrity.
Here's my problem with Jaden Smith more than that, is that he raps about having a lot of money. A lot of times, not in this song, but a lot of times. Uh-huh. And of course, that's none of his doing. That's his parents. And the cars he drives, and the women he hangs out with, and all of the stuff that he gets from his dad and his mom.
But that
he's
topic,
earned none of it.
That topic is half of hip-hop.
Yeah, I know.
People who aren't really that rich, who still rap about it. I mean, that's part of the posturing of that
I think
game.
Most of the time, those people are earning their own money, though. They're not born with a golden spoon in their mouth. Is that the right saying?
Yes. Usually it's silver, but...
Silver spoon. Okay, good.
Look, I'm not defending Jaden Smith.
He blows.
It's terrible.
Yes.
I'm just saying he's the same as every other kid that's out there doing it. We just hear about it because he's Jaden Smith. But I hope Pink Floyd kills him.
Yeah,
I'm killing everybody in the show business today. I'm killing Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm killing Katy Perry, now Jaden Smith. But at least now you've heard it, and you'll never forget that.
Wow, that's not good.
All right, today's celebrity birthdays, we're out of time. How about the great Bradley Whitford from West Wing and other shows is 55 years old today. Former QB Brett Favre, who I saw in a TV commercial the other day for some sort of hair color product. And I thought, wow, have I forgotten that he existed? He's been so off the radar the last few years.
Yes.
You see a few pictures of a guy's penis, and all of a sudden he goes underground. He's 45 years old today. Wendy McLevin Covey from the Goldbergs is 45 today. Mario Lopez, 41. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 40 today. Our friend skateboarder Bob Burnquist turns 38 today. And the great David Lee Roth, the only Van Halen singer that counts, is 59, and that's the show beat. Reese from The Walking Dead actor Chad Coleman joins us in less than an hour here on K-Rock. And next hour we'll go to Las Vegas for RJ Bell and get you some money made for NFL Week number 6. First, though, the Kevin Beat Afro Line is on the air. We really appreciate you guys calling. A lot of great calls lately at 323-520-AFRO on all sorts of topics, and then we play them back on the radio.
We need more specifics, because you can say this about just about everything on our show.
What?
Right, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What was she referring to?
Who knows?
Because, really, we've done probably 25 things this week where that could be the response.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately. Chip is in the studio.
What's up?
She's, hi, Chip. She plays bass.
I can't see Chip.
He's there. She's there.
Is she in the chair?
She's in
the,
how dare you?
I see the microphone is down by the chair, but I don't see Chip.
The chair is as low as it can go.
Okay.
She was the, of course, bass player in Melfon.
Melfon?
Now defunct.
Yeah.
And you know how sometimes we, or the caller yells things and then goes away from the microphone like, what? Comes back?
Yes.
That's what Chip tries to do, but she never gets close enough to the phone. Listen.
Hey, Chip. We come up on the second Friday of Rocktober. Where the hell is goddamn I'm a patriot. You guys are goddamn ISIS.
All good. Not bad. All good, except for no one heard Melfon. No one heard. You can't go to another room. I mean, you do have to be close to the telephone to get that effect.
Sadly, Chip, Melfon is just one of the great bands that you've broken up over
that
the
years. That was not me. All I remember is Melfon was cool until Mug showed up.
Hey!
Oh, that's an excellent
good point.
Just saying.
Good point.
Okay. All right.
All right, this dude perhaps is too high, and he's doing his version of Kevin and Bean spooks.
Kevin and Bean. Funny things are gonna happen. Wow.
I didn't know Jaden Smith even had the Afro line.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Here is a girl that has a personal story.
Hey, so I was at a stoplight the other day in Santa Monica, and there was this guy next to me motioning at me to roll down my window. So I rolled down my window, and he was like, hey, do you know where the nearest Denny's is? And I told him no. And then he was like, that's okay, you cute, though. And then as I was driving away, I was thinking, was it Bean?
That's a great question. Denny's and you're cute?
Yeah.
Although Bean would skip the Denny's, even though he's a big fan, he would go right to, you're hot. You're hot.
Well, first of all, I have the Denny's app on my phone, so I don't need anyone's help to find a restaurant.
You said that like you're proud of it.
Well, yeah, because that's
what
the beauty of technology.
I think I'm going to bring back Doofus. It's been a long time. Johnny Hendrix was on our program.
Yeah.
The last time we interviewed him, we found out he was laying in bed. So I thought it would be funny. In my mind, I went through this, and I asked him if he was in bed this time when we talked to him. I think it was yesterday or the day before.
Yesterday.
And it didn't go quite as well as I'd hoped. The last time we talked to you, we were told that you were in bed. You're not in bed now, are you?
No.
Okay, good. All right, just checking. Just wanted to make sure.
Sounded like you kind of wanted that just a little bit, Kevin.
Kevin's
got a visual here.
Nope.
Hey, Kevin. Are you in bed?
I think
that doesn't even make sense.
I think Johnny was just confused. It was just such an out of the blue question. He had no context really for it. He didn't remember that interview or that he tweeted a photo of him talking to us in bed. So I think it was just puzzled him.
Yeah, it didn't. I saw in my mind. I played it through before I asked it, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And then in reality, it wasn't quite so great.
God damn it, Kevin! I can forgive you hanging up on Paul McCartney. I can forgive Beer Mug from hanging up on Bono, but you are unforgiven for hanging up on the Two Eyeballs Kid. That guy's the best.
Thanks for the time, sir.
Cool. Thank you, Malaka.
I hung up on him. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Now he's made it.
That guy. That's the Two Eyeball Guy. Why did that happen? Why did I do that? What's wrong with me?
I don't know what you're in such a hurry to get to. I really don't. Are you afraid that every caller is going to scream the F word as they hang up the phone or something?
Let me explain once and for all, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I hate the, okay, we'll see you later. All right, bye. Take care. Talk to you next time. All right. So I hang up on everybody. Like, every time somebody calls in, I turn the volume down. Uh-huh. Then I hang up on them so that we don't have to go through 45 seconds of saying goodbye. But every once in a while, I don't turn the volume down, and then you hear me hang up on them, and I should probably not do that with Bono or Paul McCartney or whoever that may be. Two eyeballs, whatever.
Don't look at that boy.
That couple's got trouble
so
trying
bad.
To do, but we have been saying that it's Rocktober for quite some time. And we've had a time or two where that sound effect was not ready.
Seriously, it's just this easy. Rocktober. Is that really that hard? Rocktober.
He's putting us to shame.
He's doing that on his phone.
Damn yeah. it. Yeah.
Come All right. on. You're better than we are.
What's happening there? And finally, we have a request. And as you know, we like to take requests from time to time and do what they say, especially if it's embarrassing to one of us.
I'm having a really poopy day sitting here in traffic. And you want to know what will make me feel better? Hearing Lisa May rap skill.
Yep.
Yay, yay. Can we hear some of that, please? Thug Live.
She's got as much soul as I do.
She does.
Yeah, you can
which
tell.
Is to say none,
yeah.
unfortunately. But Lisa has some rap classics, and we would like to play one for you now.
Later on that day, my homie Dr. Dre came through with a gang of tank array and a fat-ass J of some bubonic chronic that made me choke. Shoot, this ain't no joke. I had to back up off it and sit my cup down. Tank array and chronic, yeah, I messed up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Thug Life indeed.
Inglewood.
All this weekend on K-Rock, you can win tickets to a private show with a band called Linkin Park. They're going to be playing Guitar Center's 50th anniversary concert coming up on October the 24th at the Wiltern. Get your details and another chance to win at krock.com.
Have you seen the YouTube video of the truck getting smashed into by the train?
Yes, and it is unbelievable. It is one of those things that you see from time to time in real life that you feel like is actually in a Michael Bay movie. It doesn't look real. It's so crazy how close these people were to seeing this. It's a lady named Juanita with her husband David and his father John. They are traveling from West Monroe, Louisiana to Memphis, Tennessee, and they are in a town called Mare Rouge, Louisiana. Now, the video to me starts in a curious place because what do you think happened? You think they were just sitting there waiting to get across the train tracks and the arms were down and then they realized there was somebody on the track, so they said, oh my God, there's going to be a crash,
yeah.
So let's start filming?
It seems like that's what it was because they did like whip out their phone or whatever and start doing the video. And it does look like it's only about 10 seconds before the train hits.
Dave, where can our listeners see this video?
We tweeted the video on at Kevin and Bean, and it's going to be on our Facebook page.
All right, so here it is. This is the sound of it. This is the woman that's watching while her husband is videotaping.
He's stuck, I think.
Holy mother of Moo Moo.
Got it rolling?
All right, let me just sit her up here and say, what?
Holy what mother that? Of Moo Moo?
What the hell is Holy Mother of Moo Moo?
Oh, you know Moo Moo.
What is that? Is that a thing, Dave?
No, I have no idea.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, and her name's not Juanita, by the way.
It's not. It says it's Juanita.
Yeah, I'm sure
yeah,
it does.
Listen to her.
Listener, yeah.
Okay. let's make sure that Holy Mother of Moo Moo isn't a thing.
Holy Mother of Moo Moo.
Got it rolling?
Listen, hold on. Stop right there. Stop right there. Did you hear what he said? Are you rolling? He's not going to miss this on tape for anything in the world, is he? That's the way we live now because of YouTube.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like your first thought isn't, hey, somebody's going to get hit by a train. It's, are we rolling?
And I have another question. How far away, guys, do you think this car is from the point of impact?
I'm going to say about 3 car lengths because they were behind another car. Mm-hmm. And that was still a distance away from the train tracks in the arm, yeah.
And the reason I ask that is, would it occur to you guys, as it would to me, to get out of your car and move further away from the impact? because a train hitting a truck, it seems to me like there could be a tremendous, there could be an explosion.
Yeah, yeah.
There could be a tremendous amount of shrapnel, of metal flying through the air. I mean, you don't know how big this crash is going to
be. And by
be.
The way, guys,
that's
guys are,
why you got to make sure you're rolling, Dean.
You're underselling a truck. It was a crane. Yeah, that it was a diesel with a crane.
Good Lord.
So,
and it knocked the train off the tracks.
It did. It totally wrecked it, yeah.
So here it is again, and you can listen to it.
Holy Mother of Moo Moo.
Get it rolling.
My God!
It literally demolishes this truck and the train. It's just shocking. You watch and you go, "Oh, holy Mother of Moo Moo!"
And that truck gets, I think, like it was picked up in a Transformers movie and just thrown 25 feet.
It does look like it's a movie. Like it's someone's rolling on this. And the way the impact is and the sound and just the way everything just falls to
Are
pieces,
we positive like... that, that Michael Bay wasn't there? That they're not shooting a movie?
All right. So now let me ask you this question again. And the video is up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to see it for yourself. So now the accident has happened. You're still these people. You're sitting in the car. Your first, at least my first impulse is you run over to the train and run over to the truck to see if there's anybody in there who's hurt who needs to be pulled out, right?
Yes.
No way,
30 seconds ago, you said you run the other way because it's going to be a huge explosion.
Because of the collision.
Right.
Because of the collision. Now the collision has happened.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you see who's injured.
Now, aren't you now thinking about who's injured? I think I would be.
I would
tell me he got out.
Well, there it is. She cares.
Just tell me he got out.
Did you have it rolling, honey?
Yes, I had it rolling.
You have it rolling, honey? Hey, honey, did you have it rolling?
About. Yes, I have it rolling.
Jeez. It was like watching TV. Oh, is anyone behind us?
Man.
What town are we in? Myrrh?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, we got fume leaks.
We got fume leaks. He says fume leaks.
Exactly. Okay. I'm staying away.
That makes sense now. If gasoline is starting to leak from either the train or the truck, now maybe you do make alternate plans because now I'm afraid of an explosion.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. We got fume leaks.
There you go.
Well, anytime that you're ready. Lord. So is the guy dead or did he get out?
I don't think he was in there.
Here's what I like. none of them saw a person.
Yeah.
Right. So when she asks, she doesn't know, and when he answers, he doesn't know.
No,
that's right.
There's just no information there.
And I guess what happened is that the vehicle, the truck, was a low profile vehicle, and the train track is a little bit raised, and it just got hung up there. It couldn't get over the hump.
Ah.
So it got stuck on the tracks, and apparently the driver had left the cab of the truck before those people pulled up. So there wasn't anybody in the truck. Thank God.
Let's get out of here. Chemical leak going.
Oh, my gosh.
Chemical leak going now. You know, if it's leaking gas or chemicals of some kind, you're in a rush to get out of there. That's the only thing you're thinking about, right?
Wrong. I would think so.
Wrong.
Oh, gosh. Look at that smoke.
You filming all that?
I am filming it.
Oh, my God.
There's a chemical leak. And all they can think is, tell me you got that on film.
I wonder if his deal was sometimes these viral videos that somebody shoots that are newsworthy end up getting on the networks and you get paid for them. They have to license your video that you own. I wonder if he's thinking payday to have this on tape.
Well, it's a good one.
It is a good one. We're glad they got it, but holy cow. It looked the two people that were injured were on the train, right?
Yeah, the conductors.
Yes, that's right. And they're still recovering as far as we know. By the way, 2.5 million views already on this video. It's been up, 4 days or something
holy
like that?
Holy Mother of Moo Moo.
Right.
Holy Mother of Moo Moo indeed, Dave.
Thank you, Lisa. It's World Famous K-Rock at 6:53.
All right, Lisa, take off your traffic hat. Now put on your Showbiz Beat hat because you're filling in for Ralph Garman this hour here on K-Rock. What's going on?
All right. Let's start off with our favorite comedian, Chelsea Handler.
And by favorite, you mean?
We love her.
Least favorite.
And she's got a new stand-up special, which is going to be on Netflix October 10th, called You Got to Be Kidding Me.
Uganda, like the country Uganda.
Really? I guess it's Uganda Be Kidding Me Live, yes. So October 10th, mark your calendars. That's today. That's
today, yeah.
Mark your calendar today. I didn't know we were skipping a song, so I apologize. Oh. I wasn't quite ready for this. That's okay. So anyway, she did an interview with Huffington Post Live. And during the interview, she revealed that Saturday Night Live told her she was going to be a host. Which is huge. I mean, that's what any comedian would want.
Right.
Absolutely.
She was doing some shows at Radio City Music Hall. They were sold out. She met Lorne Michaels' producer, and the producer said, we have got to have you host. And then her agent called her and said, yes, you are hosting SNL. They're going to give you a date in the fall. And then they never called her.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And what they said, and I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I wanted to, the writers have a problem bringing on a comedian. And I am thinking there have been a ton of comedians.
Of course.
Who have
including last weekend, by the way, when Sarah Silverman did it.
Yeah.
So they clearly were just either screwing with her or somebody who agreed to it then got overruled.
Lorne Michaels at the top of the food chain went,
yes.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
By the way, Kevin, I know you hate Chelsea Handler. How do you reconcile how much Dave Grohl loves Chelsea Handler? He's on her show all the time. He just did a radio special with her where he interviewed her for an hour. I mean, he loves her.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite people in the world, Dave Grohl.
I know. And if Dave loves it, it almost makes you want to kind of rethink the way you feel about it.
Not really. No.
Okay.
No. I'm sure he likes a lot of people that I don't like, and I like a lot of people that he doesn't like. That doesn't mean we can't be a couple. Wait, I'll say that out loud.
You guys are still together.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, that's nice to know. While we're talking about Saturday Night Live, I just wanted to mention Jan Hooks for people who remember her from SNL. She was on Saturday Night Live from 86 to 91, same time as Chris Farley and Mike Myers and Phil Hartman. Dana Carvey was on at that time as well. She passed away yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. She was only 57.
Ouch.
And no one's really saying what happened except that...
Ebola. Ebola.
A long illness.
Oh, that's
so that's probably not the Ebola.
She's also well known from the Pee-wee's Playhouse movie, too.
Yeah, and she was recently on 30 Rock, I guess in the final season of 30 Rock. She dated Kevin Nealon before they both got onto Saturday Night Live. So that's kind of sad.
Boy, does Lisa know a lot about Jan Hooks.
I liked her a lot.
I was just going to say, as much as you like her, I believe that that story has been covered
now. The only thing that would be better if she'd done Broadway.
I don't know that much about my wife.
In other TV news, How to Get Away with Murder has been, it's gotten a 15-episode order.
Okay.
It got 14 million viewers. I guess
that's huge.
Pretty huge. Yeah. I watched the first episode. Did any of you guys watch it?
I still haven't recorded. This is the Viola Davis show where she plays a law school professor, right?
Yes. Well,
it looks good, but I haven't seen it.
And it's created by Shonda Rhimes.
And
she did Grey's Anatomy and Scandal.
But it's just too crazy for me.
Is it?
Yeah, I decided I'm not going to keep watching
you're
it.
You're too crazy for Lisa.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, Black-ish has the go-ahead for another 22 episodes.
That's a good show. I like that.
Yeah, and that got 10.8 million viewers, so that's big.
Wow, ABC is winning.
They're doing really well. They haven't decided yet what they're going to do with Selfie and Manhattan Love Story. They haven't gotten the thumbs up yet. So we'll see what happens. Oh, and Selfie, rather. Manhattan
why has nothing been canceled yet? Usually by this time in the season, we've lost at least a couple of shows.
I know. I don't know because I have more renewals. Under the Dome, Stephen King's series that wrapped up in September.
Okay.
They're coming back.
They sure are still stuck under that dome.
Yes, they are.
Still under it.
It didn't take me that long to read the book, I'll tell you that.
Sure haven't figured that one out yet.
An Extant. With Halle Berry, the astronaut who gets pregnant while alone in space, has also been renewed.
Oh, my God.
I have never seen that show.
And when Lisa hasn't, that's saying something because she checks everything out.
Okay. Charisma Carpenter is going to be on Sons of Anarchy.
Really?
Wow, they're just going for the casting this year, aren't they?
I gotta tell you, her in a while.
Every single person that we were worried about, remember we were like, oh, Courtney Love, really?
Yes.
Oh, really? And this person, that person? Lea Michele, I think?
Yeah.
That's right.
Has been great.
Yeah.
Every one of those people that we've seen so far in Sons of Anarchy has been great.
Yeah. So she'll be great, I'm sure.
It turns out they know how to work with actors over there, I guess, to make them fit in.
Kevin, you like Vance Joy's Riptide, right?
I do.
It's a very good song.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift was on BBC Radio 1, and she did that song.
She did the Vance Joy song?
She did. Would you like to hear a little bit of that?
I would not, no.
There's this movie that I think you'd like. This guy decides to quit his job and heads to New York City. This cowboy's running from himself.
What do you think, Kevin?
Hate it.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
If you didn't know that was Taylor Swift.
Don't like it.
You would not have hated it.
If we told you it was Tove Lo, you would go, oh, what an awesome cover of Riptide.
That's possible, but it isn't.
But
it's Tadoff Swindler.
On Kevin's side, I will tell you what happened. I wanted to play that on my computer before we played it for you.
Right.
Shut my computer down.
See?
Completely.
See? Tadoff Swindler.
And I restarted it, and it started doing things I've never seen it do before, checking things. We had to restart it two more times before I could get it rolling again.
That's what happens when she's in the picture.
So now I don't know.
So you got the T-Swizzle virus is what you're saying.
I think I may.
Can we hear a little bit more of that, please? Is that a yes?
She's been living on the high shelf.
No one said yes, by the way.
Come on, listen to that voice, Kevin. That's good.
It is good.
Ooh, and they come on, star lady, running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side.
I'm just saying. Come on.
I'm just saying.
Well, I can't argue with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but still.
All right, celebrity birthdays. David Lee Roth is 59 today. Bradley Whitford is 55, and he made an appearance on Transparent. If you're not watching that on Amazon Prime, you are missing, I think, maybe the best new show of the season.
Wow, okay.
It's great, and he is amazing in a dress.
Okay.
He looks awesome.
All right.
Wendy McClendon Covey is 45. Dale Earnhardt Jr., the race car driver, is 40 years old. And Amy Teagarden, who you might know from Friday Night Lights, is 25, and that's the showbiz beat.
So does this mean Tyrese is dead on The Walking Dead, too?
Oh,
the actor Chad Coleman is missing? I'm just saying.
He's here. We got him.
Got him on the line?
Yeah.
Finally returning. Doesn't it seem like when The Walking Dead is off, like the months seem like years? Like it's gone for 6 months, but it seems like 6 years when it's gone.
It does seem like it has been forever.
It does. And we are so excited this time of year when we get back to get into the show. It debuts for season 5 on Sunday night at 9 on AMC. We are so excited to welcome Chad Coleman to the program. Hey, Mr. Coleman, how are you, sir? Hello,
hey.
Chad. There we go.
Hello.
Wow. Dave told us.
Talk about The Walking Dead.
What part of We Have Mike don't you guys understand?
Because
we don't have Mike. We have Gene Simmons. I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, I was told that we were talking to Gene Simmons, and then you said, oh, we have him. I started talking about, oh, we don't have the Walking Dead guy. And you said, we do have the Walking Dead guy. So I thought, you must have called it at the last
second. This is actually Chad Coleman. Let me get Gene Simmons. He happens to be sleeping right next to me. Hold on 1 second. Excuse me. Gene Simmons, you want to talk to Kevin and Bean? Hello? Kevin and Bean?
All right. Gene Simmons, you hold on for a second. Kevin, what happened?
You think this is going to help Bean?
I want to know what happened. We were told before the song ended that we weren't going to have Chad Coleman. We were going to have Gene Simmons. So I bring up, hey, we don't have Chad Coleman. And you're like, no, he's on the phone. Which
he's
leads
on the
me
phone
to believe
right now.
That he's on the phone. What's going on?
He's not on the phone. I don't know why you would say that. I don't understand this whole thing.
Lisa, what's happening right now?
I don't know. I'm very confused.
Veen, here's the awesome thing. When Dave said we have Mike on the phone...
We don't have Mike, by the way.
Gene Simmons. Right. When we had Gene Simmons on the phone, Kevin repeated that. He's like, oh, okay, good. We have Gene Simmons on the phone.
All right, we don't need your help.
All I got to say is, guys, there's not a day that goes by that I don't wish that I was back on the Kevin and Bean show. And it's moments like this that really reinforce that desire.
Well, it's because we're professionals.
To come back to a professional outfit like the Kevin and Bean show.
Kevin is magic, Mike. You have no idea how much he has declined since you left the show. You really don't. Every day it's a miracle watching him get through the show now.
I have gotten a lot worse, Mike. I have. I really have.
Maybe that's part of the magic, though. Maybe
Feel like that. That's not my interpretation. But,
I have a feeling that those listening to this radio show right now feel like it's great magic.
Yeah, great. Hey, Gene Simmons isn't with you, is he?
You know what? It's so funny you say that. Let me grab him.
Okay.
Oh, he's right there. That's awesome.
Good morning. Morning. Who's this? This is Gene Simmons from KISS.
You're on The Walking Dead, Gene?
That's right. You know I play a zombie. Yeah. I use no makeup because I have jet black cobalt hair and I'm 18 feet tall.
Well, Gene, not that I care anymore, but you did an interview with Esquire magazine where you talked about how rock is dead and it was murdered and there aren't any good rock bands anymore and blah, 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 blah.
Well, yeah, do you have a comment? Whatever.
I do.
Well, what's your comment?
Yes, dead. Gene, what's
rock,
your comment?
Rock is dead.
Rock is dead. Rock is dead. Lisa, how's your vagina?
I think we've all lost. We'll live. My bad.
I think you really took the air out of the balloon, Kevin. I think it's what happened here. So, Mike, how much for you
it's
to come?
Gene Simmons.
Gene, can you put Mike Catherwood back on the phone, please? Do you mind if you can hear him on the phone?
Okay. Hey, hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Hi, Mike.
What are you doing hanging out with Gene Simmons, by the way, this time of day?
It's so strange. Every once in a while, he just wakes up, but he's like sitting there by the bed, like hitting on my wife. And
that
I'm
is
like,
pretty
come
weird.
Come on. Come on,
okay.
Man.
How much? This is a serious
Ask
question.
Ask Gene if he's going to watch The Walking Dead.
How much for you to come back and be Kevin on the Kevin DeBede Show? How much for that that swap to happen?
Oh, I do that out of personal charity, just for the good of all, the good of all men.
All right, we gotta make some phone calls after the show. Then that's gotta happen. Mike.
I truly do miss these type of moments.
It's great. They're great, Mike. They're really great.
You just don't get anywhere else.
I love them. They just couldn't be more fun.
Well, I'm glad that we got you up out of bed in the middle of the goddamn night after Loveline for this nonsense. But thank you, Mike. We love you and we miss you.
I love every single one of you. Thank you, guys.
Thank Gene for us.
No problem.
All right, bye.
106.7 K Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Bean.
Are we ready? Is everybody in position? We know who's on the phone. Everybody's cool. Everybody's got the right paperwork. Is that a yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Take two.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Walking Dead returns this Sunday night at 9 on AMC. We couldn't be more excited to welcome to the program Mr. Chad Coleman. He plays Tyrese, don't you know? Hi, Chad. Welcome, sir.
Hey, what's going on? I love that theme music, man. I'm halfway.
As do we.
We feel the same way. You know, we were talking a couple of minutes ago that when The Walking Dead is gone, it seems like it's gone for 2 years at a time. I know it's not really, but that's how much we miss the show. We're so happy you're coming back this weekend.
Me too, man. Let's get it going.
And by the way, how about some big news in TV? You have already been renewed for season 6, so if Tyrese can stay alive, this means actor Chad Coleman has some work in his foreseeable future.
Dang, I can feed the babies, man. Feed the babies.
I got to be honest.
Monique and Unique, my twins.
I got to be honest. When I saw that you joined the show in your first episode, I was like, oh, well, this guy's clearly just coming on the show to be another guy to get killed.
Right.
Like, you kind of feel it about
Thanks,
everybody.
Man. Thank you, bro.
Well, a lot of times when they add.
I don't mean that's an insult. I don't mean that as an insult. I just mean people come on the show and then they go away quickly on this program.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. All the history, all of the work I put out there from The Wire and Cuddy and everything I've done, man. And you think I'm just going to show up to get chopped up?
Well, no. That's.
So I believe you've insulted our guest, Kevin. I believe that's what's just happened here.
Excellent.
So I understand that this season premiere that for season 5 on Sunday is going to pick up like literally where season 4 left off. Like in the train car, we see what happens next. This isn't one of those, and 3 months later, I mean, we're right back in the thick of the action, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what's really cool about it. You'll find me on the railroad tracks with Carol and Judith. We're trying to find Terminus, and we're still reeling from everything that happened in the Grove with Lizzie and Mika, you know. And so we're trying to reach the rest of the group, not knowing that they're in the pits of hell.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know. But it's The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's going to be a bad surprise.
Now, as you pointed out, Chad, a lot of bad stuff has gone down in Tyrese's world. How was the decision made, and maybe you had something to do with this, to play him so optimistic and so decent? You don't see the dark side of Tyrese the way you do some of the other characters that snap.
I don't know. When he got out of that car in season 4,
yeah.
He went a little wild.
That's true. That's
a little bit of darkness going on there. But here's the deal, man. In order to survive, I think you have to have hope. And I think he's got a relationship with hope that's just a little bit tighter than maybe some of the others. But at the end of the day, what we really want is for life to return to normal. So you got to keep that in the forefront of your mind in order to push through, because otherwise, you know, you could take a hard right and you're off and nowhere land for real in your mind.
Yeah.
So I think Tyrese really tries his best to hold it together because he believes that we're going to return to normal. And when we do, who the hell are you if you just continue to do all this kind of wild, reckless stuff that's real reactionary, you know?
That's a really good point. I mean, you almost have to pretend that there are still rules and laws, and you still have to remember how to act like a human being and not just some sort of, you know, wild animal in the woods.
Yeah, because this is my thing. It's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of a new world.
Right. Now, are we going to see more in season 5 about the crazy prospect of a cure in Washington, D.C., and Abraham and those guys are going to keep marching? I mean, is that something that that is going to play out this season, or is that just some sort of fantasy that they were talking about for a couple of episodes?
No comment.
No comment.
Okay. interesting.
No, I'm kidding. No comment, but I can't. That's a fantastic question, but I really can't elaborate on that. It's going to play out. Yes, it is a cog in the wheel, and it will play out.
Understood. You know, it's funny. You talk about starting over a new life after the whatever the catastrophe was that created the zombie invasion. I'm always surprised that they don't figure out a way to get electricity back. I mean, they have human beings who can think. You'd think that somebody would be able to figure out electricity in this new world at The Walking Dead.
Well, that's a great question. Edison did his thing a long time ago, so we need to jump on top of that. But, you know, it's just hard because everything is just gone at it. Crap. So it's hard to kind of put all the ducks in a row. You know, survival becomes at the top of the food chain is just survival right now. So sometimes we don't grab a hold of things that seem like common sense.
That makes sense.
So season 5 returns Sunday night on AMC. And then it's a 16-episode season, right? There's 8, and then there's a break like last year, and then there's 8 in the spring?
That's right. Okay. That's it.
All right, before we let you go, Chad, I know you're in New York for Comic-Con right now. What do you hear most from Walking Dead fans when they come face-to-face with you and who they know as Tyrese? What do they most want to talk to you about?
Stay alive.
Yeah.
I'm going to die. Stay alive. I'm like, I'm wearing a T-shirt. Stay alive, okay? Trust me. I'm all in on staying alive.
We're all in as well. Season 5 returns this Sunday night at 9 on AMC. We're very, very excited. We appreciate the time today, Chad. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Friday morning. One of the things we like to do on Friday is head out to Las Vegas for our friend RJ Bell, pregame.com. You were just telling us, RJ, before we went on, that your record making picks here on the Kevin and Bean Show this season so far is what?
10-2. 10 winners.
Come on.
Two losers.
Wow.
But guys, I thought we talked about it. You were supposed to act like I didn't want you to say this, and you were going to afford. Hey, for informational purposes, you had to tell people.
Absolutely. Right. What happened last week? Before we look at this weekend's week 6, what happened last week when you got Kevin's hopes all excited about Arizona? You thought they would beat the Broncos. That was the one you missed last week, RJ. What happened?
Okay, so 10-2, and you're asking me about one of those two. Am I hearing that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Hey, listen, Peyton Manning, unbelievable. And I mean, it, you know, one of the things we'll be talking about throughout this week's three picks is the NFL is a sport where you want to be contrarian. The public goes one way and you want to go the other way because the public going that way causes the price of the teams to go up. Well, Denver is a team that their price is always really high because people love Peyton Manning, but they tend to cover and win so much more than you would expect because usually when there's a premium on a team, the value is the other way. With Denver, you got to be extra careful because Peyton Manning scores a lot of points, and that's the way you cover the spread.
So the truth of the matter is bettors shouldn't care who wins the game as long as they make money off of it. That's why we talk about it being a science and you'd never, ever, ever bet with your heart.
Well, it's also something where, and it's a saying here in Las Vegas, is the recreational bettors bet the better team. The professional bettors bet the better number. This is a mathematical game. You could give me any team on the card and just gave me 7 extra points. Whatever the line was, 7 extra points, I'm going to make my biggest bet of the year on that team. And you can pick who that team is. So it really is just about the numbers. Because in the long run, you can't be sure who's ever going to win. But what you can be sure of, if you get the best of the number, just like in the casino. I mean, think about the flip side, right? The casino lets you play blackjack, craps, roulette, whatever it is. You get to decide how much you bet. You get to decide when you bet. But they have the mathematical edge. And that's why they have those big buildings.
Right. Very, very well said. All right, you give us a best bet, an upset special, and a big game. Where do you want to start today, RJ?
Well, let's start with the best bet, and you might never hear this again. Oakland Raiders are the best bet. They're +7 at home against San Diego.
The Chargers?
Now, this is it. No one wants, right now, 80% of the bets have been on San Diego, which makes sense, but that's why there's value on Oakland, especially these teams with 0 wins. NFL winless teams, week 6 or later, as an underdog, 63% going back to 1992. That's 94 winners and only 55 losers going all the way back 20-plus years. And you know why that is? Because people don't want to bet those teams with that big 0 in the win column. And here's a stat that's even more impressive. Winless teams off a bye, 29-11 against the spread. Good example again. They've got 2 weeks to focus and say, guys, we can't let this keep going like this. Now you got San Diego. They get a big game next week. They are not motivated to blow this team out. They just want to win. And with Oakland, there's a new coach. So at least there's going to be short-term enthusiasm. Raiders +7.
Wow. So, in other words, they may not win the game, but San Diego will not beat them by more than 7. That's
well, they may. Hey, listen, San Diego very well may beat them by more than 7. They might beat them by 27. But I think over the long run, Oakland +7 is going to win 55% of the time or more, and that's all you can hope for.
That is fascinating. By the way, even though they've had the 2 weeks off, they haven't replaced all of their players in that 2 weeks. They've just replaced
the coach.
If
so, I would like it even more. But unfortunately, we're stuck with them.
All right. What's up next, RJ?
Okay, I'm going to go with my upset special. It's a small upset. Minnesota Vikings, they're 1.5-point underdogs at home against Detroit. And this Detroit team is not good on the road. They're even worse on grass. And Minnesota's now playing outside in the grass. And they're the worst of all Detroit is as a road favorite. As a road favorite, 4-16 against the spread.
Wow.
4-16. Calvin Johnson, their big-name receiver, may not even play. If he does, he's going to be hobbled. And last week, Minnesota got killed in front of the world on Thursday Night Football. NFL underdogs who lost the last game by 30-plus points. So you're getting points this week, like Minnesota is, and you lost last week by 30-plus, 61% against the spread going back to 1990. That's an example, again, of that contrarian perspective that everyone saw them get killed. That's when you want to bet them the next week because they're cheap. There's value on them. Minnesota is excited about this game because they've got a new quarterback, Bridgewater, who did real well 2 weeks ago when he played. Then he was out last week. Lastly, and this is an amazing stat, Minnesota at home against Detroit has won 18 of the last 20 times they've played. So we got a team that's 18-2 that's getting points, upset special Minnesota.
Very interesting. And the big game is Buffalo hosting New England. New England, a lot of people wanted to count out as dead, but they kind of squashed that with a good performance last Sunday night. How's it look against Buffalo, who has been a team that's been a lot of fun to watch this year?
Yeah, Buffalo's at home +3, so they're 3-point underdogs. Patriots last 21 times they've played the Bills, 20-1 straight up. So you're going to think, oh, everyone's going to like the Patriots. Exactly. That's why we're going the other way. And we've seen it with the Pats, that roller coaster. When they looked horrible on Monday Night Football, everyone thought they were done. Now they look great on Sunday Night Football against Cincinnati, and now people are back excited about them. This line, if you would have bet it last week, before last week's games, you can bet early on these games. The line was pick 'em, which was even money. Now New England is a 3-point favorite. That's too big of an adjustment in just 1 week's games. We talk about its overreaction from the public. One last point to think about. The road team in New England games has covered only 5 of the last 23. The road team in Buffalo games has covered 5 of the last 22. So both these teams, if they're home, they play so much better than on the road. Well, Buffalo is at home. Buffalo, this is the big game, and we're going to pick Buffalo +3 points at home.
A lot of people are shaking their heads right now as they hear you, the words coming out of your mouth about the Raiders, the Vikings, and the Bills, RJ.
I'm shaking my head, but I'm not 10-2, so.
Hey, I want to ask you one more unrelated question, RJ, before we let you go. And by the way, pregame.com is RJ's site. There's so much more information on that we even have a chance to scrape the surface of here. I just want to ask you this, because Floyd Mayweather, we were talking about a few days ago, is one of these guys who goes to Vegas and bets huge amounts of money on regular season football games and basketball games. What's the biggest bet you've ever seen somebody put down on one game, RJ, in Las Vegas?
Yeah, Super Bowl. So what happens is the sports books, when they have more action on a game, are very open to bigger bets because they – listen, if you came up to them and said, I want to bet $10 million on Team A, as long as they had someone willing to bet $10 million on Team B, they would love it because they would just sit in the middle and collect the commission. What they're afraid of is to be lopsided on one game. So the Super Bowl is usually the time where you see the biggest bets because there's so much action bet on it. Just in Nevada alone last year, there was like 120 million bet on the Super Bowl. And typically during a Super Bowl week, you will have multiple bets of seven figures. So right here in Nevada, people will come up literally with suitcases or of cash, or they'll wire the money to the cages. But either way, multiple bets over $1 million typically each year for the Super Bowl.
Isn't that amazing, Kevin? Can you imagine watching a game if you had $1 million or more riding on
it? It would be a very different experience.
It sure would. All right, pregame.com and on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. RJ, thanks so much for the time. Have a terrific weekend, sir. We'll do it again next Friday.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. I hope you just started listening because we are great today. Everything is on point. Right now, though, Chad Coleman joins us from The Walking Dead, which airs this. Wait, it's not.
Nope.
Hold on, it's not Chad.
No,
we're talking to Gene Simmons.
Nope.
What's that?
We're doing Showbiz.
Oh, with Christine.
Yes.
That's where we're at now.
Yes, that's where
we
we're
intro
at.
That now.
Yep.
Christine is filling in for Ralph Garman this hour on the Showbiz Beat. She is the associate producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, and I have to say, Christine, and I don't know if you've run into this at other occasions when you've been on the radio, but a lot of pervy guys out there when you're on the radio. What is the deal with your voice and what it does to people?
Oh, God.
And they don't even know that you're cute and Asian. They
just God, Bean.
They just hear your voice, and all of a sudden they're like, tell us about Christine, they write.
Is this the moment where – is this a creepy Bean moment right now?
I'm not being creepy.
No, I'm asking you.
Or?
It is. He's just doing it through other people.
I'm asking you why so many creepy guys are so turned on by your voice. It's just weird.
Is the creepy guy in that you're referring to named Bean?
Yeah. How dare you? All right. What's going on?
All right. So this hour looks like I'm like in good company, right, to do the Showbiz Beat?
Yeah.
So on Wednesday's episode of South Park, it was revealed that Lorde, one of our favorite singers, is not actually a 17-year-old New Zealander.
Wow.
She's Stan's father, Randy, on the show.
How did they pull that off?
Well, there's a clip. Let's find out.
Yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday.
Then with the computer, I can actually quantize everything.
Feeling good, feeling
back
good.
Backup instruments.
Thoughts.
And then finally, I use the auto-tune.
Sparking in the watch, feeling good on a Wednesday. Giving me the hope, giving me the hope to go on.
How about that? What
amazing,
are the chances?
Amazing, right?
That's
so
amazing.
Yesterday she tweeted, I have officially been the subject of 2 South Park episodes, and that is weird and cool. And this is the thing. She's 17. She's gorgeous. She's so talented. And she's also, like, so cool and has such a great sense of humor.
Yeah. When we interviewed her, she said something that we've never heard before, which is she went back and listened to her last interview with us and apologized because she sounded tired.
Oh my God.
We've been doing this job a long time. No one has ever gone to those lengths. I mean, that's crazy.
No, everyone is tired when they come in here, too, by the way.
Yeah, right, exactly. And she was fine, too. There's nothing wrong with her interview.
Nothing at all.
But she's just a perfectionist, I guess. But that's awesome that she's got a sense of humor about this.
Yeah. So Iggy Azalea. Turns out that guy, Hefe Wine, who said that he had a sex tape with her,
yes,
might actually be her husband.
What?
I know. So I guess that they were dating a couple years ago. And in Texas, and if there are any legal people out there who can correct me, you can be considered legally married with someone if you agree to be so with them. And then you just have to present yourself as a couple to other people.
There's no like. Is there got to live together for 7 years or any common law?
I tried to look this up in the short amount of time I had, and I don't know the specifics.
There has to be an amount of time or something, because you can't just meet somebody at a party and go, "Okay, let's decide that we're married and let's start introducing ourselves as husband and wife," and that can't be legal.
Well, the crazy thing about this is, if it's true, and if the judge does rule in his favor, then he would be entitled to the profits from all the music that they wrote while they were together.
Wow.
And apparently that was, I think, the majority of her catalog.
Ooh. How about that?
Well, then I hope that's not true.
I know. It's crazy, right?
I hope
right?
that's not true.
And
that's
his name
fair.
Is Hefe Wine. I mean,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I hear you. I buy that by the case.
Dude. So Katy Perry, you know, your girlfriend.
Oh, we know.
February 1st. Super Bowl. She's going to be your halftime performer.
I'm good with that. Bean, you're crazy. I'm great
Bean.
With that. This is the best choice they've had in a lot of years.
I just felt, look, I'm sure it's going to be fine, and I'm sure that I will not be butthurt by the time February gets here, but I just thought this was the year that it made the most sense of all years to give to let Weird Al do it.
Right, but you're going to have to let that go.
Weird Al's never been more popular
right.
than he is right now.
But
and America loves Weird Al, and he should be the halftime entertainer.
I know that you feel that, but at some point you have to be defeated and say, it's not working.
This is new news, though. This is only in the last few hours, Kevin. I'm still processing, okay?
My thing, Bean, is if it was, again, like a classic rock band or something, I can understand why you'd be upset, but it's Katy Perry.
I know, and I like Katy Perry. I mean, look, Bruno Mars was fine last year, too. He's contemporary
and young. But he's not pretty the way she is.
That's correct. No, but I'm saying he's contemporary and young and current. I mean, our big complaint has been a lot of times they, you know, they'll put the Rolling Stones on or something that we just don't feel is relevant anymore. At least this is relevant. And she's hot, and we do have the possibility of another wardrobe malfunction. So I do have that to hope for.
Creepy Bean. And lastly, you guys have somebody to direct your Obama Jam hate at. Yesterday, President Obama was at Gwyneth Paltrow's house.
Yep.
That's where the fundraiser was yesterday that held everybody up on the west side. And it looked like after the little party that they had, there was a dinner. And the tickets cost up to $32,000 to attend. People like Julie Roberts and Bradley Whitford were there. But that's who you should be mad at, guys, for all that traffic.
Yeah, it happens a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Every time he comes to town, it's like, where is he going? Oh. It's going to suck.
Blame Gwyneth next time.
All right.
So I got some birthdays for you guys. David Lee Roth, 59 years old. Actress Bai Ling is 48. Got to give some love to the Asians. Brett Favre is 45. And is it just me, but does he seem like he's a lot older?
Yes. In the commercials that he's running right now, he looks about 60.
Right. It's crazy. And he only played, like, it was only 5 years ago he was in the NFL, right?
Yeah. Right. But then he played all those games in the park in his jeans, so that probably wore him out.
Totally his Wranglers. And since I didn't get a bell yesterday for Brandon Routh, I'm going to give myself one today for one of my favorite skaters, Bob Burnquist. So he gets a double bell.
Oh, good for you.
She brought in her own bell.
Come on.
You can't bring your own bell. That's
yes,
against,
you can.
That's against the rules.
What rules?
She First of been, all, you haven't been through the training at all. You don't have the certificate.
Wow.
She has been through the training for her bell.
Bob Burnquist, though. Come on.
All right. We love him, but I don't know bell. All right, go ahead.
And I'm Christine, and that was your Showbiz Beat.
1 hour from right now, the Penguin will be in here. Actor Robin Lord Taylor, he plays Oswald Cobblepot, the future Penguin on Gotham. That's going to be at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about that. First, though, speaking of entertainment, our friend Ralph Garman is off this week. He's in New York. And Matt Atchity from RottenTomatoes.com on the phone with us. Matt, are you also in New York for the Comic-Con there?
Yeah, I am. I don't know why Ralph couldn't call.
I know. You're able to call. Where the hell is Garman? That's an excellent point. What is your what's your panel? What are you guys doing out there at Comic-Con?
We have a panel called Your Opinion Sucks, Critics versus Fans. And we literally have fans line up and argue with critics about movies that they love. It gets really rowdy.
That sounds
really
fun. Yeah.
It is fun. It's super fun. And we're going to be doing it at Kamikaze at the end of the month back in L.A.
That's
fantastic.
Cool.
Well, we appreciate you filling in, especially on short notice for the Movie Beat. And we do have a pretty interesting weekend of films opening up. I feel like once you get into October, I think, you get the horror movies coming back. But you also start to get the prestige films start to come out. And it starts to be a lot more fun to look forward to what's on the weekend.
Yeah, the movies are picking up a little bit. September was rough, but we're starting to get some interesting stuff that clearly I think they're trying to get some early buzz for the awards season. Probably the first one on that is St. Vincent, which is the latest from Bill Murray. And Bill Murray plays this kind of curmudgeonly old guy that, you know, he's retired and he just kind of sits around and drinks and goes to the racetrack And Melissa McCarthy moves in next door. She's a single mom. She's got a 12-year-old kid. And the kid starts to bond with crabby old Vincent, which is played by Bill Murray. The critics are mostly positive on this, about 63% on the tomato meter. They say that it's not an overwhelmingly great movie, but if you are at all a fan of Bill Murray, you're going to love this. I think we have
fantastic.
A clip to play.
We do.
I can watch the kid after school. I can do $11 an hour.
You like him?
He's interesting. In a gotcha sort of way.
Hey, look, it's Oliver.
You need to defend yourself or you get mowed down.
Get out.
I'm small, if you haven't noticed.
And so is Hitler.
That's a horrible comparison.
A lady of the night.
Do you know what that means? She works at night.
Why is he mowing your dirt patch?
I'm showing him how the world works. We work, you get paid, you drink.
Are you drinking alcohol?
I honestly don't remember.
Unless they put all of the funny lines in the trailer, that makes it sound like it's a pretty funny movie, Matt.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. It's not as sharp and kind of as shockingly funny as Bad Santa. It's kind of in that same wheelhouse. Think of this as the PG-13 version of Bad Santa, and you'll know what you're in for.
All right. Okay. Up next is a movie with two of my very favorite, well, three, really, Robert Downey Jr., Robert Duvall, and Billy Bob Thornton, all in the same film called The Judge. What are you hearing, Matt?
The critics are split on this one. This is Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall working together, and they have really great chemistry. You've got a really good supporting cast here. Billy Bob Thornton, Vincent D'Onofrio, Vera Farmiga. But the critics are split on this one because the movie tries to do too much, and it gets a little bit schmaltzy in places.
Yeah,
unfortunately. So the core of it is that Robert Downey Jr. plays this high-power lawyer in Chicago, and he finds out that his defense attorney, like one of those awful, awful, cliched defense attorneys that can, you know, talk anyone out of anything.
Right.
And he finds out his mother has died. He goes back home to the small town he grew up in. Robert Duvall is the judge of this small town. And as you would expect, these two guys don't get along at all. And then Robert Duvall gets popped for having possibly run someone over, and all the evidence makes it look like he's guilty. And he kind of grudgingly lets Robert Downey Jr. be his defense attorney, even though he doesn't believe in what Downey does. And so there's a lot of tension and a lot of drama here, but the movie kind of loses its way. But we have a clip that we can play for this one, too.
My mom passed away this morning.
Is this the first time your mother passed away, or is this something you do on all the cases you're about to lose?
First time.
So, Grandpa Palmer's dead, too?
No, Grandpa Palmer's dead to me. It's like a figure of speech.
Henry?
Judge?
Forensics found traces of blood on your dad's car.
I sat on the bench in that courtroom for 42 years.
This was an accident, period.
We need to establish a firm defense.
There's no we here, Henry. I wish I liked you more.
My father's a lot of unpleasant things, and murder is not one of them.
I don't know. With that acting talent, I might be willing to settle for a so-so script, Matt. I love them all so much.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie, but this is a movie that I think that suffers from being a little too long. My opinion personally is that if they'd cut about 20 or 30 minutes out of this movie, it would be really tight and really sharp.
That's true of about 80% of movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Exactly.
All right, up next, if your kids have already seen The Box Trolls, perhaps this one will work for you. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Now, this is based on a popular children's book, right?
Yeah, this is based on a book from, I think, 1972 that is a fantastic, very beloved book. The movie's okay. It's the story of this kid, Alexander, and he wakes up in the morning and things go wrong from minute one. This is the kind of movie where the night before it says, you know, if everything just goes perfect tomorrow, it'll be the best day ever. And we all know never to say something
right.
like that in a movie because then all hell breaks loose. So that's what happens for these kids. The critics mostly like it. It's about 64% on the tomato meter. They say it's mostly pretty funny and enjoyable, but ultimately a little bit forgettable and something that's not going to stick with you that long. But it's got a really solid cast here. Steve Carell and Jennifer Garner. Let's listen to the clip because you can hear them in the clip.
I can't believe Elliot Tixon photoshopped pictures of me to the whole school.
Nice boobs, Alexander. I'll be your driving examiner.
My girlfriend probably won't start prom. Would never answer the phone when I'm driving.
Proms don't happen every day.
Hey, Celia.
Put the phone down.
You tricked me.
Get out.
I don't think he passed.
And finally, Kevin, and I know the word Dracula is all you need to get you to the theaters. I know how much you love vampires.
I don't care what the critics say either.
I'm a little scared about this one because it's got no one involved in it that I've heard of or care about. Is Dracula Untold just a cheap attempt to make some October money, or is there something more here, Matt?
Is it too cliche for me to say that Dracula Untold just sucks?
If it's true, it's true.
Yeah, it's only 25% on the tomato meter. This is trying to turn the Dracula legend into Lord of the Rings. This is you know, it starts out extremely loosely based on the historical figure Vlad the Impaler that became known as Dracula. In this movie, it would have you believe that he goes and finds some wizard who is actually supposed to be the Emperor Caligula, played by Charles Dance. Who we might know as Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones. He's uh-huh. probably the most recognizable guy. Dominic Cooper, too, who we know as in The Winter Soldier. So he's in this. Not a huge cast, and the critics say that it really just doesn't work. It's trying to do too much. It's pretty chaotic, which the clip will show.
What is it you are seeking?
I want the power to destroy my enemies and save my family.
Drink, Dracula.
I see the devil inside him.
Do you think you are alive because you can fight? You are alive because of what I did to save you. Never forget who I am.
It doesn't sound like you're all in on anything this weekend. Would you say the best of the newish movies in theaters right now is probably still Gone Girl, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't seen Gone Girl, I would go and see that. If you've managed to not get spoiled on that one, see that before it's too late.
All right, Matt Atchity, RottenTomatoes.com, by the way, which has been reviewing movies for us since the 90s, but there's so much more to the site. You guys do TV shows now. You've got all the latest in Hollywood news. You can buy tickets online, the whole deal. Have a great time at the New York Comic Con, man, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks for having me.
This weekend on K-Rock, we're giving away tickets to a private show with the band Linkin Park. They're playing Guitar Center's 50th anniversary concert. That is coming up on October the 24th at the Wiltern. Great chance to see a band as big as Linkin Park in a place as small as the Wiltern. You can get details and a chance to win at krock.com. And again, all weekend long, we'll be giving those tickets away. Great video that surfaced this week of a Oklahoma City panhandler who was confronted by someone that had given her money in the past. And boy, was he disappointed to see that she drives a nicer car than he does.
Oh, my God. What? She pulled up in this nice car, and he looks at her and he goes, "Are you kidding?"
That is such a burn.
A 2013 Fiat she was driving, by the way. And he yelled at her, and there was somebody else who had also given money to the same little old lady who was videotaping, and it became a big deal and made the news in Oklahoma City. We want you to hear some of that, and then we want to talk about it.
An elderly panhandler caught on video getting into a brand new car has gotten a lot of attention online.
The woman was standing here on this median in the entrance to Quail Springs Mall, holding a sign that says she was a 78-year-old widow. She needed money.
You ask me for money in the middle of the street, and you drive a 2013 car?
Now, that's the guy that's yelling at her because she pulled up in the car, and he had been giving her money, and he's blown away that she's driving that car.
Well, I see this little old lady there, 78, 90 years old, she's looking like.
Says he works two jobs, but still tries to give to people who need help.
I see you hungry. I give you every day $3, $2. Thursday, I did not eat to give you $4.
Just so you understand, Thursday, I did not eat to give you $4.
That's Which is amazing.
Sad. That is sad.
It made me mad when I saw her Monday counting the money, and she had a lot of money in her lap. And I couldn't take it. My anger took over me.
And despite the fact that this video has been viewed almost 2 million times, that lady was back at that same median today.
Now, stop the tape. So, by the way, he described her as this woman who's 78, 90 looking.
Yeah.
She really does look super, super old. I don't know how old she really is. She could be 80 or something.
She's
like
not
that.
As tall as a steering wheel, if that's what you're saying.
She's a tiny little lady with white hair. And, look.
It would break your heart. You would see that lady and be like, I have got to give this lady some money.
We all have those pressure points. Sometimes it's you see someone with a baby. Sometimes you see somebody who's a veteran. Sometimes you see someone who's who's handicapped in some way.
Sometimes they have a pet
out there. I mean, there are all those ways that you're a human being and you want to help. You can see why so many people would give this little old lady. I mean, can you imagine if that's your grandmother out there? That's what you're thinking in your mind is what happened in this poor old lady's life that she has to beg on the street at her age. So, I'm thinking, what a sweet old lady. It's a shame that she's pulling this scam, but what a sweet old lady. I feel so bad, you know, for the circumstances or whatever's happening here. And then I heard this tape when the TV camera tries to confront her. And you won't believe this little old lady and what goes on with her.
But didn't want to talk about her car.
I don't have no car. Get the hell away from me right now. Get away from me.
No. According to the Homeless Alliance, only about 20% of panhandlers are actually homeless.
By far, the majority of panhandlers that you see are panhandling for cash, typically to support unhealthy behaviors, often alcoholism and other addictions.
By the way, that number is staggering.
It is.
Yeah. Only 20% are homeless. Really?
And you know what? If this lady wasn't homeless, I would be okay with that because it would be possible that she had a home, but just not enough money to get through a month and get
food. Right. Social Security is not enough for some people, right.
But a new car?
Yes.
A new car!
That's the story.
A new car does make it seem like she knows that her looks are a gold mine and
yes.
that she can live pretty darned well if she just goes out and begs for a couple of hours a day. So we thought it would be interesting, based on this Oklahoma City lady, to find out, like, they encountered her in her 2013 Fiat.
A new car!
What have you seen homeless people have or do that you could not afford? That's what we want to hear from you about right now. I don't know that we've ever broached this topic before at 1-800-520-1067. Like, you followed a homeless person or see them leave their spot out on the street and go into a house that's nicer than yours. What's that like? What does that make you think? What does that make you feel about donating to homeless people? What have you seen? Call us now at 1-800-520-1067.
And we'll talk to you next. I think most people, when they see a homeless person on the side of the road or a panhandler, somebody that's begging, most people feel the same way, which is, oh, that sucks. I should help.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're kind of trusting. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy that we just found out that 20% of them are homeless and the rest of them pretty much are doing better. I did see one guy by my house on the off-ramp who had better shoes than I had.
Oh,
like, man. He had brand new, like, Air Jordans.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? F you and your Air Jordans.
Why would he make that choice, by the
right,
way?
Right, I don't know.
You got to dress for the part, right?
You would think. If he was wearing worse shoes, I may have helped him, but not with those.
Megan writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, and then we're going to go right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What have you seen homeless people have or do that you couldn't afford? Megan writes in, I was a bank teller, and I would often have homeless customers at the end of the day depositing what turned out to be thousands of dollars in their accounts. I mean, it's tax-free money, you know, and you
thousands.
You can be out there. I mean, who knows how often they came in, but you could be out there, you know, making hundreds of dollars a day if you got the right. If you got the right, like this grandma in Oklahoma City. I bet she pulled major bank. Don't you?
Well, she did have
a new car. Marcy writes in, my mom saw a guy begging for money at our church and then saw him later that same day getting into his Corvette. So these are the kinds of stories that we're talking about. Let's go to a couple of calls. Let's start with Manuel. He's on line two. He's in Los Angeles, and he's up first.
Hey, Manuel.
How you doing? Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hi there.
At the 7-Eleven right there on La Cienega and Pico, there's a guy that stands with a sign and a cane. And when I went into to 7-Eleven, I kind of felt bad because I try not to give money, but if I can, I will. I came out, I gave him a dollar, I went in my van to scratch up my scratchers. All of a sudden, the car pulls up, a friend of his is like, hey, what's going on, you ready? He goes, yeah. They hop in the car, he pulls out a lot of 20s, a big old pack of 20s out of his pocket.
This is the guy that you gave a dollar to?
Yeah, the one I gave a dollar to. He totally forgot that I was sitting in the van. They leave, I'm still there scratching. They leave, they come back, they have a bottle of liquor, they start drinking. And all of a sudden, the guy leaves, and he gets back up on the corner and starts asking for money again.
Wow.
How about that?
And up to today, he's still there. I see him almost every day.
Why wouldn't he be? It's a profitable job for him.
Ever since then, I said, forget it. Whether they need it or don't, I'm not going to. I tell them I pay with an ATM card.
See, that's smart. See, here's the problem is then there are some people that need it. So,
that's right.
So you want to screw them out of the money because you've been
swindled. Think what you want to do is you want to donate to organizations that help the homeless. Like in Oklahoma City, the rest of that news story says they have a coupon program that you can go out and buy coupons, and that's good for meals, it's good for shelter, it's good for clothing, things like that. That way you're actually giving them things that the truly homeless people need.
King of Mexico walked up to a person and said, I'll buy you a meal, and they said, no thanks.
He just wanted the cash.
I just need the beer or something else, you know.
Manuel, thank you so much for the call, sir. Let's go to Aaron up next in Hollywood, line 3. Hi, Aaron. Aaron, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
So, go ahead.
I used to drive past Crescent Heights and Sunset every single morning with my husband, and there was always a woman there with a sign begging for money for her and her children. She had hungry kids at home. Cut to the afternoon one day, I drive past one block away. She's walking across the street with a designer bag on her arm and a brand new cell phone.
Wow.
Texting.
So,
I think I know who that woman is, too. I've seen her, too.
You have?
Really?
And she always breaks my heart. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, my hungry kids. And she had a brand new iPhone and a brand new designer bag on her arm.
I mean, I guess it's – I mean, they just look at it as it's a job, right? That's my job is I get up in the morning and I pretend to be homeless. I'm acting and I get paid for it. That's their life, I guess. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Hakop writes in. I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. There's a lady in North Hollywood who pretends to be pregnant. She's not. Watch out. Matt writes in. I was driving through Anaheim early one morning and saw a U-Haul van pull over. They had multiple shopping carts in the back. They unloaded one. A guy got out of the van, put his hands in the dirt, and rubbed dirt in his face.
Are you kidding me?
Another guy handed him a cardboard sign, and away he went. This happened for several miles, dropping off people at various intersections with dirt and shopping carts. BS. People like that ruin it for the truly needy.
That's the problem is how do you know the truly needy? And I guess your answer again was to help the shelters or people that actually provide services for them.
How about driving around with a bunch of shopping carts and people playing
That's
homeless
crazy.
People in the back and then you meet at the end of the day with $1,000?
Hey, good work. Everybody get back in. Awesome.
All right. let's try Mike in Downey, please. He's on line 2.
Oops, sorry, I went to the wrong Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
There's this guy. I always see him sitting on the freeway, and he has only one leg.
Okay.
So cars come up, and he hobbles down, gets changed. But kind of hidden right behind the sign, the exit sign, there is a brand-new prosthetic just sitting there.
So
the guy picked off the leg.
Sure. Really? So he disconnected it and then started begging so that it would help?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I see this guy all the time. He's always there, and it's a racket. He's always getting a ton of cash, but... Nobody knows.
Here's what's weird about that is you saw the leg, the guy saw the car, I saw the shoes. What Bean said, like just out of narcissism or just because you want to help yourself, why do you do that? Why don't you hide the leg? Why don't you wear your bad shoes? Why don't you drive a bad car?
Yeah.
What's wrong with these people?
How are you too lazy to even play a homeless guy properly,
Unbelievable.
Right?
Unbelievable.
All right, let's go to Frank. He has actually had a conversation with somebody who might have been in this situation. He's in Moreno Valley. He's on line 1.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
You know what? I'm a recruiter out in the Riverside area, and on Fridays is our pizza night. And every Friday I go to this Little Caesars, and I see people begging for money. And I tell them, I say, you know, here's the next best thing. I can give you my card, my business card. Give me a call. I'm a recruiter. I can get you a job.
Nice.
Out of about 25, ask me how many I've called.
I'm going to guess 23.
Zero. Absolutely zero.
All right, zero.
So you actually said to them, I can provide you with a job.
I can get you a job. It's not the best job. It's minimum wage.
Yeah,
but it's honest work and you'll get paid, right? Yeah, I'll get
exactly.
you off the street.
So you said 25 people out of that zero called.
Zero have called me. None.
Wow.
So
and do you think, Frank...
Every time I go to that Little Caesars now, I just look at them and I just laugh.
Do you think, Frank, that's because they can make more money for less work doing what they're doing now than what you offered them?
Of course. Sitting there in front of the Little Caesars, probably getting a pizza, slice of a pizza plus money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a job to me.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Frank. You tried, man. And finally, this email from Scott. I think this sums it up for all of us. One time I saw this guy panhandling. He was fat and messy looking. He had a weird tattoo on his flip-flopped feet. Imagine my surprise when I found out he worked at K-Rock.
Fire beer mug.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
It was an accident, Kat. I thought it was a video with baby bulldogs in it. I don't know what happened with the link that I sent you.
You are a jerk. Do you know what he did to me?
It was a mistake.
It's easy
to cut and paste the wrong link. You know that, you guys.
Can I guess?
He sent you a picture of a clown?
Oh, not just one clown. Like a page of GIFs of like Pennywise. He's like, it's the cutest thing.
He's like, didn't you get my video?
Right?
Did you get it? Yes.
Yeah, and he also tagged my bulldog and my chihuahua in it. He tagged my dogs in the post.
See, we're talking about American Horror Story and the fact that there's a clown, and then we got into Everybody Hates Clowns, and then Kat really, really is out when it comes.
Well, that's why it was such an unfortunate error in my cutting and pasting. I didn't at all mean for you to get those creepy clown gifts. It was supposed to be baby bulldogs, so I apologize.
You've lost your email privileges. I'm never opening one again,
that
ever.
That makes me sad. Because I have all these penis photos now and nowhere to send them, so now what?
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa's, you can always send them to me. Yeah. I have a whole folder of them.
Kat is a wonderful human and is kind enough to come in and help us out with Ralph out this week with the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Your producers have huge powers of persuasion to get me in this early.
Yeah, that's seriously. We're shocked.
I was at a show, honestly, like 4 minutes ago. Yeah. I don't know how I got from the Fonda to here, but here I am. All right, well, let's get into, I hate to start off on a bummer, but I'm going to miss this lady, Jan Hooks. Passed away at the age of 57. She had been battling an undisclosed illness for a long time.
Bean's touching sound effect tribute.
Thanks, Bean. That was so sensitive. Hooks was known for her incredible characters on Saturday Night Live. She did a great Sinead O'Connor impression.
Yes, I remember that.
She did those crazy sisters. Remember, clang, clang, clang with the trolley?
Yes.
I love that. She was on 30 Rock, but my favorite Jan Hooks part, my favorite, was when she played the tour guide at the Alamo in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
And Pedro is working on an Adobe. Can you say that with me?
Adobe.
Adobe.
She was so good in that with a big hunk of gum in her mouth. 57. Jan got her comedy chops at Growlings here in Los Angeles, which is such a fine place.
Lisa said earlier that we don't know why she died, but at that young age,
is
it probably cancer? What do we think?
I would think so. I mean, I think she just kind of went, you know, off the grid and wanted to be private.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So we don't know what it is.
I think she dated Kevin Nealon for a while.
That's what I read. She dated him before they went to SNL.
Wow. That would be such a cool couple. I would totally get that couple. All right, let's move on. Ozzy Osbourne. So Ozzy is learning the value of viral media right now because he got into this interview, and I guess the printed interview took quotes from different portions of the conversation. So by the time they got into print, it made him look really bad. This is what he's saying anyway. The quotes were, 9/11 is my kind of craziness. And I wasn't scared. I was excited.
Oh. What?
He compared it to an old cowboy movie, Downtown New York, So that happened. And now he's, you know, apologizing, saying that his comments were taken out of context.
What would they have been like in context?
Yeah, what context was it that we are missing?
I don't know. All I know is I'm just right now thinking that Fox News is having a field day with Ozzy right now.
Yeah,
and that, like, Elizabeth Huffalump, or whatever her name is.
It's Hufflebump.
Can't you just see her, like, he bit the head off a bat.
Oh, yeah, her head's exploded.
And now he hates America.
Kick him out of the country. Deport him. He's not even from here.
Close the borders and leave him on the outside.
Ozzy.
Sad. Ozzy. Look, why does anybody care what Ozzy Osbourne thinks? I mean, really?
That's a good question.
Why does anyone? How upset can we be over things that celebrities say? Why do we care what they think?
By the way, how do we know that's what he said? Does anybody understand Ozzy right now?
That's an excellent point too.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have been talking about a Subway sandwich for all we know. We have no idea. All right. Well, thanks to Bean for sending this story. We have a new Bond girl.
New Bond girl. All right. I'm assuming she deserves a bell. I don't know what she looks like.
Of course she does.
I don't even know who it is, but she deserves
a
bell.
She's French. Ooh la la. That's all you need to say.
Is it Adele Dazeem? Because I've been waiting for her.
Pretty sure that's not French.
Okay.
Apparently, the part was originally written as Scandinavian, but once French actress Léa Seydoux came on the scene, it was all France's win. She played Emma, the blue-haired girl in Blue is the Warmest Color, which won the Palme d'Or at Cannes a couple of years ago.
That was a hot lesbian movie.
Yes. She's just gorgeous and beautiful, and I love Bond girls. I love them. I love
me too.
Every single like character. I like the gold one that was a Goldfinger. That whole thing. It's just stylistically beautiful.
I'm looking at a photo of her right now, and she's at least in these photos. She's very ScarJo.
Yeah, and I like her because she's like vein. A woman. That's why I like French women when they're cast. They're like they have hips and they're you know they're not.
Yes, she does.
Bean poles.
They're not girls.
Bean, calm down. Filming on the new 007 movie starts in about 6 weeks. All right, let's move on to birthdays. Can I get some music? God damn it, Omar. Just went to the keyboard. That's all I wanted. David Lee Roth is 59. DLR. Do I get any DLR love out here?
Yeah, he's the only Van Halen lead singer that counts.
Exactly. Gary Cherone? Nope.
Nope. Sammy Hagar? Sorry.
Nope.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. I love David Lee Roth and Van Halen and all that.
All right, Chad, he's how old? 59?
Yes.
Would you?
I don't think he would like me.
That's not the question.
Uh-huh.
But yes.
Okay. Really? Even 59 years old, you still would because of the...
I would probably try, and then I would probably kick him out because Diamond Dave would not stop talking in bed, and I'd be like, shut up.
Because I always wonder about this. With somebody like him who was such a sex symbol in the 70s, I mean, he was rock and roll personified in the 1970s, and that's kind of why you fell in love with him, and that's the image you have of him in his head. But confronted with the nearly 60-year-old bald David Lee Roth, does he still have enough going on that you'd go for it? You say only if he shuts up.
Yeah, I think the thing about Diamond Dave and David Lee Roth, however you like to call him, is that hits his charisma. It has nothing to do with his hair. I mean, yeah, that looks great in videos, but the dude is charismatic.
Yeah,
and he's
sure is.
Really smart, and he can do splits.
Okay, good. But he won't shut up. That's a true statement.
And that's a problem because, you know, when you're trying to get into it, like, you immediately lose your sexiness if you can't shut up.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Okay. All
I right, mean, unless you're talking dirty, but I picture him, like, going off on some tangent that has nothing to do with what's at hand.
Yeah, I think it's probably not going to happen for you two kids.
Damn it. All right, let's move on. NFL quarterback Brett Favre is 45. Mario Lopez is 41. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 40. Bob Burnquist, skater, 38. And Marina and the Diamond Singer is 29. I'm Kat Corbett. That was the showbiz beat.
It is perhaps the breakout hit of the new fall TV series. We're talking about Gotham, which airs Monday nights at 8 on Fox, re-airs Friday nights at 9 on Fox. The show is called Gotham, and Robin Lord Taylor is the pre-penguin, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBeach show right now.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
The future penguin or penguin to be. Right now, you're just Oswald Cobblepot. How are you, man?
I'm doing really well, man. What a whirlwind.
You're super creepy.
Hey, thanks so much. I'll take it.
I mean, I think that's the way you're supposed to be playing it, so it's a compliment.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I love that.
It just must be so weird as an actor anytime you end up playing an iconic role. I mean, a role with such history and such expectations, it's so different than just being a guy on a new sitcom or something.
It's so true. And you know, like, as a working actor, you just want health insurance. You don't want to wait tables ever again, you know? Yeah. And you audition, you know, I audition for everything. Like, I have no standards.
No standards. I'll do whatever comes up.
Yeah, I'll do the opening of a grocery store. I don't give a crap. But yeah, it's like, and then you find yourself on the show and it's like, not just any show, it's, you know, Gotham. And then it's not just any role, it's the Penguin. And like, following the footsteps of like Burgess Meredith and Danny DeVito,
okay, so tell us
what's happening.
Tell us the preparation that went into playing this character. Did you purposely watch them? Did you purposely not watch them?
Well, I mean, it's impossible to get away from it. I mean, I grew up, they aired the Adam West show after school every day, so I'd seen every episode of that. Yeah. Totally, you know. And then, of course, they also aired Batman Returns with Danny DeVito, was on HBO, a show.
Right.
Like, my entire forever. Like adolescence.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen it a million times. So, you know, that's been in my brain.
So how do you go into playing that same role?
Well, it was interesting because, like, when I went in, they didn't tell – they were really secretive. And it was like they didn't tell us what the name of the project was. They didn't tell us what the characters were. They wrote a fake scene with fake characters and everything. And so, you know, okay. So I, like – you know, like anything, I just, like, prepared and did my thing. And then I – my like, the night before, my agent was like, oh, by the way, gave me the tip-off. She was like, this is the origin story of Batman. It's called Gotham, and you're going in for the Penguin. And I was like, okay.
Big difference. Right.
Big difference. Although at the same time, I was like, well, I've already, like, prepared, and, like, it was so well-written, and I knew what I was going to do, and so I did it. And it was, like, one of the easiest auditions I've ever had.
Did you audition? Crazy. Did you audition as you play the character now? I mean, where
pretty
you,
much,
you
yeah.
Decided I mean, that you were going to sort of be that weird, creepy guy that smiles too much.
Yeah, yeah, totally. You know? Yeah, not too far from reality. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it was easy to get into that. But
now,
yeah,
one of the reasons that I'm really enjoying Gotham so far is exactly what you would expect. Seeing the backstory of these characters, we know what they're going to become. I mean, like this week's episode with seeing Bruce Wayne start to learn how to fight and things like that. I mean, they're so excited because you know he's going to be Batman. What do we know about the Penguin's early years, though? Like, what kind of backstory already exists on him, or are you playing?
Well, I did some research. I wasn't a huge comic book kid. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I was aware that I had a couple of them.
Sure.
And I, of course, I had seen the movies a million times. When I got the part, I was like, I should probably.
Maybe I should do a little research.
Maybe I should do a little research. And I did some research. And, like, you know, there are a couple, like, comics out there that go into his childhood. And, you know, he was a bullied kid. And, you know, that really, mm-hmm. you know, goes into sort of, like, his pathology and, like, you know, sort of where he – what his desires are and his ambitions to sort
of – Is that
of,
why he's so mad at the world and likes to strike out and hurt other people because he's been a victim of abuse, you think?
I think that's a lot of the reason why his – you know, he's lacking that kind of empathy. You know, I just feel like, you know, like what he just doesn't want to be the kid who was, you know, kicked down and made fun of anymore. Like, he wants to be the guy in charge. He wants to be
that
powerful.
Does that. Yeah.
So
you know,
far,
yeah.
You've played that so perfectly because
– Thanks.
No, because you can sense that that's the inner character, like it's inside you, but the outside of you is not confident yet.
Right,
is
yeah.
Is that difficult?
It's really not.
It
I
isn't.
Mean, it's just we're in such like amazing, capable hands. Bruno Heller, who created The Mentalist, and he's an amazing, amazing talent. And Danny Cannon is our executive producer. Both of them have such a clear vision, and like the scripts are just so tight and perfectly written that like when people ask me like what's your inspiration, and I'm like, the script.
I can read.
I can read words, and you know, and I'm just gonna do it. I don't know. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, everyone involved is just so amazingly talented that we're just in the best hands. Like,
now they changed your hair to play the Penguin, right?
Yes, this
is not your natural hair color.
No, it is not.
What are you in real life?
I am as blonde as the sun.
You can tell from his eyebrows.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, totally.
And tell me about the process of what they do to your nose to play Oswald.
Right. Well, I get a prosthetic nose, and it's, you know, it's relatively subtle, which I like. You know, it's not.
Does
too,
it take a long time?
It well,
or
you know,
not.
It
they've
takes,
got it down.
We've got it down. It takes about like 20 minutes to put on the nose. It's just like a little bump on the top, and then a tip on the end, and like. But the longer thing is they do this crazy airbrushing thing where they make my skin all kind of scaly and gross and like paint my nose red and just, you know, it's kind of
nasty. How long does that take?
The anti-pretty makeup.
Start to finish.
Start to finish, the makeup is about 45 minutes and then like, then it's about another 20 minutes to take it off. But then the hair is another like, you know, like
what if you have a cold and you got that nose on? Like, what
like,
do you do?
Good point.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm just ready to sneeze and then the nose will just fly and hit the camera.
Awesome. Amazing, if that right? happens, I hope they use it.
It's his secret superpower. It's just flying nose at the villain's face. Yeah.
And sometimes you wear fancy suits, but mostly you're just wearing whatever Chris Hardwick wears on Talking Dead. You just show up with the sweaters and the hipster stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely where we are now. I mean, you know, like, but you'll see the transformation. Like the Cobblepot, he really likes his suits and he likes to dress up. And so as we go through the series, you know, his look becomes more and more established as the Penguin that everybody sort of recognizes. And I have to tell you, the guy who makes the suits for the show is this amazing tailor named Martin Martin Greenfield, and he makes the suits for the last three presidents. Like,
what?
Wow.
Yes, and he's like works out of this like crazy, little warehouse in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
What?
And you step in, it looks like a set from Gotham. Like you step in, it's like the 70s never ended. It's
wow.
Like wood paneling.
And they go, "Do you take a seat? Obama's in there."
Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like they walked up. Like the first day I was there getting fitted, they walked up. Some guy had a suit on a hanger. And he was like showing the costume designer was there, and he showed her the lapel and the inside of it. There was these little like red, white, and blue stitches, and he was like, "What do you think he'll think of this?" And she was like, "He's gonna love it." And then she looks at me and she goes, "The president of the United States." And I was
unbelievable.
Like, "Unbelievable!" I was like, "Can I touch it?" I was like, "This is like, it's like you know, you see history like right here." You know, what
are
I
you
mean? Like,
are you positive insane. They weren't just jerking your chain? That would have been awesome.
That would have been pretty amazing. This is
the voice of actor Robin Lord Taylor here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about the show Gotham that airs Monday nights at 8 and then re-airs Friday nights at 9. Let me ask you about one scene before we take a break, because
yeah,
this was kind of the big moment for your character in the pilot. I can't worry about a spoiler alert here 3 weeks after that aired, right?
No.
And that is that James Gordon, Detective Gordon, basically is pretending to kill you.
Yeah, right. For,
because of a complicated mob backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to fall into what looks like real water. It looks like that was one of those things that really happens. Now, usually on movie sets or TV sets, those are a lot harder to do and take a lot more time than they take on screen. What was that like?
I mean, well, that scene in particular was one of my favorite moments I think I've ever had as an actor, just because we're on this pier, there are ships. It was just so epic, and you know, it was like kind of raining and cold, and it just like fed into the scene.
Was it one take?
It wasn't one take, but you know, it actually went a lot faster, because like Ben is such a professional, and like you know, both of us were just like feeding off of that energy, and like it was just like so much build up to that moment. It was just a really, really incredible moment, and I had a really great stunt guy who did all the
work. There's the answer.
There it
comes
is.
Clean.
Yes.
Because it looks so darn cold. I was wondering, what's it like to be thrown into that body of water?
So he went in the water.
The way they shot it, it was on the end of the pier. I think they had a Zodiac, like a little inflatable boat,
right?
On the water down below. So he fell down into the boat, and then they cut to the scene where they built a giant tank in the stage.
Oh,
and that
wow.
was actually me falling into the tank, and so that
nothing
was
nothing in Hollywood is real anymore.
Wow. No, I ruined
did
all
they
the magic.
Heat up that water, or was it cold?
They did, thankfully.
Oh, because a lot of times I don't think they do.
This was like
is this show fiction? I'm starting to think nothing is true anymore.
I've ruined
all right. Monsters.
Santa Claus is real.
We have to take a very quick break. We're talking about Gotham. It's one of our favorite new shows. It's so great, you guys. You have to be checking out. You can get the episodes you've missed on demand if you haven't started watching yet. Robin Lord Taylor is here. He is Oswald Cobblepot. One day he will be the Penguin, and he'll also return right after this on K-Rock. We are talking the TV series Gotham on Fox with actor Robin Lord Taylor. He is Oswald Cobblepot. Boy, that's a tough name to say. Oswald Cobblepot. Hey, before we get back to Gotham, because we have many more questions about your terrific show and cast, I have to ask about a couple things in your resume, other things you've done as an actor.
Please,
You were on The Walking Dead.
I was.
Tell us about that.
Oh, it was like a dream. It was amazing. And like, yeah, I had like a couple scenes in an episode.
What did you do?
I was.
We've seen every episode.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So I was in the season four, fourth episode. Carol and Rick stumble upon a house. And they find these two hippie kids upstairs.
I remember that.
I had
the fruit, and I threw the fruit down the stairs. And
that was you.
That was me.
Unbelievable.
But I didn't die. My girlfriend died. They found her leg, but I didn't die. So
are you coming back?
I am.
All right.
Who knows? You know, like you never know on that show.
And the other one I want to ask, and you've been on a lot of great shows, Law and Order and Good Wife and Person of Interest, which Kevin loves.
I
want to ask you about being in Step Up 3D. Are you a dancer too?
I am not a dancer at all.
You were in Step Up 3D.
Blink and you'll miss it, dude. It's like, yeah.
What
it's like
role
one
did you
line.
Play in that?
I played, so the thing opens with this crazy dance battle between the main character and another. And,
you don't
and
have
the
to tell us,
dancer.
Man. We're all about that.
Yeah, okay. All right. You get it. But anyway, yeah, they're having a battle in Washington Square Park, and I like literally am just – I just peek my head in, and I'm like, I want 20 on B-Boy Dark or something. And, like, throw $20 down. That's it. That's right. The whole thing. That's the line.
Why is the B-boy got to be dark, Robin? Come on.
Well, yeah, he's the bad guy. I don't know.
So those are two great examples of what your life has been like for the last few years, which is audition to audition, one-off to one-off. And the goal is, hey, I want to get a role that really has some meat to it. And boom, here you are in Gotham.
I mean, it's beyond my wildest imaginations. Like, you know, like I could not even – yeah. Like,
how long have you been – trying to
banging around.
Yeah. Years. Like over 10 years. Yeah.
Over 10 years. So like 6 or 7. I mean, I honestly, I don't understand how people don't lose faith.
That's the hardest thing. And you know, you try and explain it to someone who has like a regular 9-to-5 job. And like I have friends who do that and you know, they would be like, what are you doing today? And I'd be like, well, I'm going to the gym and then I have like a thing at 3 and then I'll be done at 3:15 and then I don't know. And then they would be like, oh man, your life is so awesome. Like you can do whatever you want. And it's like trying to explain to them that that's the hard work is the not work. You know, it's like the opposite of their life because like
you would love to go to work every day.
The vacation
day.
Is
right. The hustle, is exhausting.
Exactly.
You also don't have money to go do everything you want to do.
Totally, exactly. In New York City, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow.
It's intense. But being on set, it's the dream. Like that's the vacation, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have we've had Donald Logan, who plays Harvey Bullock on the show. Ben McKenzie, longtime friend of the program, is Detective Gordon. But you know who we haven't talked about is the young man who's just astonishing that plays Bruce Wayne, the man who will be Batman.
Yes.
That's a key role on this show, and I would imagine they looked far and wide to cast him. And man, did they hit a home run.
They really did. David Mazouz is an amazing, amazing kid. And he's just one of those kids who just naturally has that inside of him. And like we showed up, okay, for the first...
How old is he?
I think he's 12 years old, I believe, at this point.
F that kid. He's got so much more going on than I do. You know what I mean? He's smarter than I am. He's really...
articulate.
He's so articulate. He can talk.
Yeah, right. Like we had the table read, which is like when we read the script all together, like for the first or the second episode, I believe. And like he comes in fully memorized, fully realized performance at the table.
Seriously.
I'm sitting there looking at him. I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta like step it up.
I should know this.
I'm like he's like bringing it.
Wow.
And
even though he's playing the pre-Batman, you know, he's just now starting to get the idea about justice and what his contribution to the world needs to be. He's playing it so well. I mean, he's playing it like you imagine he's going to grow up and be Christian Bale. He's playing that kind of Batman rather than probably most of the other Batmans that have been played previous.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing I love about his character is that he's not just some, wounded kid who's being shuffled around. Like, he's taking an active interest in finding out who killed his parents. And it's just, like, it's just so important, like, to lay that groundwork. It does make sense that you could see him growing up to be the Batman's that we all know.
I agree with Bean. If that casting went south, that role, that one single role, then it's a problem for the whole show.
It really is. And the funny thing is that a lot of people, like, when they criticize the show or when they have questions about the show, they'll say something like, you know, it's Batman without Batman, though. And I have to say to them,
he's Batman.
I'm like, that's the thing. And I'm like, no, he's right there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you have any interest in this world, in the Batman universe, like, you... Like, why wouldn't you be interested in seeing, like, you know, where he's coming from? And
I think it's a brilliant idea. I mean, the only fear I have for you guys, and I know we're seeing a lot of Penguin now, and eventually we're going to see more Riddler and even more Catwoman, but the only fear I have for you guys is, like, when they did the Smallville TV show, they had no idea it was going to be on the air for 10 years. I mean, you've got to not be Superman for 10 years. Well, in your case, you know, you got to hold something back because you don't know how long this thing's going to run.
Right.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe they'll give you 10 years to get really fat and, you know.
Well, and I mean he's going to be growing up, too.
Do you know the plan? Yeah. Like, how
could
long
be weird.
Is... Are we ever going to get to Batman?
Right.
I have no, with this TV show?
I don't know.
Hope so. But I know nothing. Like, they tell everybody everything except for me. You know what I mean? Like, I get the scripts, you know, like a couple days before we start shooting the episode. You know what I mean? And in a way, I kind of like that. Like, I mean, I feel like I could, like, you know, really push and try and find out where we're going with this. But in a way, it keeps it almost more authentic because, like, you know,
yeah,
like,
because
I'm going through it just the way, like, Oswald Cobblepot's going through it. So it's, like, more real for
And you don't
for
have
me,
a real future to ignore to try and play the part, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah. I don't have it, like, in my head, like, trying, you know, like, the end game.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, totally.
Let me play a clip from the show before we have to say goodbye to you, Robin, because this has been so much fun having you.
Oh, my gosh.
We're really
so
such
awesome,
fans man. Of yours and of the show. But this is a great clip that kind of speaks to something you said a few minutes ago, which is that the man who will be the Penguin, he is in anguish because he sees the way the rest of the world sees him, but he knows how it ought to be. And he sees the future. And that's what he's talking about in this scene with a cop that unfortunately meets a very sad end about 30 seconds in.
Hey, Cobblepot. Hey, you're supposed to be dead.
I'm afraid you have me confused. My name is Dimitri from Odessa.
I heard you got whacked for rat. Now, Fish is gonna pay some serious cash for your skinny ass.
No, please. Please don't kill me.
Why'd you even come back, huh?
I could not stay away. Gotham is my home. It's my destiny. You don't see what's coming. I do. Gotham needs me. I'm its future.
If you're its future, then Gotham is in big trouble.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Rutrow.
Bye-bye, thug.
Bye. Gotham airs Monday nights at 8, re-airs Friday nights at 9 on the Fox channel. You have to be checking it out. It is awesome. Robin Lord-Taylor, thanks so much for coming in, man.
Oh,
we really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, guys. You guys are the best. I love everything you do.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. Was that Taylor Swift song I just heard? That Riptide song that Taylor Swift does?
That's you.
Is that the one?
She did a cover.
How do you guys do it?
Yeah, what? You're telling me.
Have you heard it, Kat? It's awesome.
I don't know how you do this.
Do you want me to play some of it for you?
No.
No, that's okay.
She's doing the showbiz. She's in charge. She's
I got it right here. If you're
not filling in for Ralph.
If you want some Taylor Swift doing the Vanstray Riptide song from yesterday, I've got that for you if you need it. In the meantime, though, here's Kat with whatever else she's talking about.
You do control his mic, right? You
could
just close
that
thing. Well, I'm just saying. All right. Have you thrown anybody in the basement in a long time?
Not a long time.
Ooh.
Are you looking for that?
I'm just saying. I'm all about being green and recycling. Let's, you know, bring that back.
Okay. I like it.
All right. Well, so this weekend we have the Walking Dead premiere on Sunday on AMC.
Can't wait.
There is a brewery from Ralph's homeland, Philadelphia, who's concocted the Walker beer. It's blood red beer that is said to contain smoked goat brains.
All right. Oh, really? Is that what you want in your beer?
I guess parts of Real Zombie were not available for this.
Yummy.
Right? It's a pale stout. It is supposed to come out on Sunday. But, you know, last night when I was doing my thing, just walking down Hollywood Boulevard, because like, I like to do that at night,
right.
I saw some bars that had signs written saying, "We will have the Walker Zombie beer tomorrow."
Really? Huh.
So it's a big deal this weekend if you're a beer drinker.
Huh.
Let's not forget that a brewery in New Mexico, they crafted two beers for Breaking Bad.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
They did not contain real meth, unfortunately.
That's too bad.
All right. Well, as if I'm not haunted enough by dating services on my TV.
Yeah.
Christian Mingle, the movie, this weekend.
Christian Mingle, the movie.
I know you did the movie beat earlier, but you missed this
one. Yeah, I don't remember that one.
I would like to know what Rotten Tomatoes thinks of this.
Okay.
It's about a girl looking for love, obviously no success in dating. So she fakes she's Christian and joins Christian Mingle, and she buys Christian Mingle for a Christian for Dummies and tries to learn what's up. Now,
is it a comedy?
It's a romantic comedy, and it stars mean girl Lacey Chabert.
It's a very strange new world.
But the stuff between never really changes. Family, joy, our love for the Lord.
Yeah, I gotta love him. Lord.
Now, like, it's weird because it looks like one of those Lifetime movies, so I'm assuming it's a limited release
that's happening.
Listen to this, Kat. Written by and directed by Corbin Burnson.
Yes.
What?
It also stars.
You remember from L.A. Law, right?
Morgan Fairchild is in this movie. You remember
John O'Hurley, Stephen Tobolowsky is in this film. Lacey Chabert. No critic reviews yet, by the way. 50% audience score. No critics yet.
Look, all I know is God's match for me is Michael Fassbender, and he hasn't called yet. So,
so it's not working.
So stop trying to make Fetch and Jesus happen, Lacey. All right? That's what I'm saying. Can we go back in time for the 80s?
Yes, we can. I used to love this show.
Does anything beat this? Come on.
That's
Pretty great theme song. I mean, I still give the nod to Hawaii Five-O as the best TV theme song ever, but Miami Vice is close.
Yeah, you can't beat Jan Hammer, and I really wish you guys were wearing pink shirts with white blazers right now.
I don't.
I would do you.
Oh!
I would be.
Man, I wish we were too.
If I didn't know that.
So check this out. So the iconic show in the 80s that made huge monster stars out of Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas. In a new interview with Rolling Stone magazine, John Johnson is recalling a day they were shooting a chase scene in Wall Street, like on Wall Street, running through the streets of New York during the business day of Wall Street.
Right.
And they noticed that there were all, you know, all the workers in the building and everybody's leaning out the windows and he's saying how there were tons of women who were staring. And so when they, you know, he says, when Philip Michael Thomas and I took off running, the windows flew open on those office buildings and then the sky started raining panties. Not 100. I'm talking thousands of panties raining down on the street.
What?
Wow. Could that be true?
That's no
yes.
way.
I bet it was.
No.
That would be hilarious. But if one girl saw someone doing it and then,
but
I don't
these
know.
These are people at work.
Think about New York. It is a very densely populated,
okay.
like there are thousands of people in those buildings working.
But they're
right.
at work. Yeah,
and a lot
I mean,
of them are wearing pants.
Even if Michael Fassbender were walking by.
Just a minute. Hold on.
We're walking by your building on the street, Kat. I don't think you would take your panties off and throw them out the window. I don't think that would be your reaction. I can see running down to the street to try to see them or get close to them, but I can't see that.
No, I would make a lasso and, like, capture him and lock him in my basement.
That would be my first move.
Okay. I just think it's hilarious that that's his recollection. So
yeah.
The new interview is in Rolling Stone, and you can check that out and kind of go back in time because, you know, that show was pretty amazing when it came out. It was like a mini movie every week when it was on the TV.
Yep.
So, all right. Let's move on to birthdays.
Yes!
A lot of 80s flashbacks going on for Kat today.
Yes, sir.
It's in the air. I can't help it. What am I going to do? Mr. David Lee Roth has turned 59 today. Happy birthday, Diamond Dave.
We're all agreed he's the only one, right? He's the only lead singer for that band.
Of course.
That
absolutely.
Matters. Right?
All right.
I mean...
Good.
Yeah, that just didn't work out too well. Former NFL quarterback Brett Favre is 45. Mario Lopez is 41. Race car driver Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 40. We have singer Maya is 35. And for King of Mexico, Marina and the Diamond singer Marina Diamandis is 29.
Did he challenge you to say the name or something?
Yes,
or what's
because yeah. It's weird.
He's used to working with me, and I can't say any name.
I've done a morning show before.
Yeah, oh, I know.
But I'm, like, falling asleep with my eyes open. That's the showbiz beats.
Thanks for coming
I'm
in,
Kat. Corbett. Thank
we
you.
We appreciate you filling
yes.
in. Let's do this, shall we?
Okay.
Let's have a little of this.
I think this is my first time doing this.
Ah. Can you sing? Do I need to turn your mic down?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, my.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Roll another one.
Why?
Just like the other one.
That kind of behavior is completely unacceptable.
This one seems to be about to quit.
His prescription.
Don't get stuck more stupid and don't confuse the people, please. You're a part of the public message, so help us get the message straight. And if you don't understand it, maybe it confuses it to the people.
Roll another one.
No, thank you. I take it back, like my man.
Just like.
That is racist and only part true.
This one seems to be about to end.
Let's beat you up.
I don't have another sense.
It's getting more like communism saying we're going to do this and do that.
But don't walk out that joint.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
Let's pass it around.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
But don't walk out that joint, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day.
How do I say goodbye?
Thank
Thank you so much, all of you, Kevin Bean and Lisa Marie. Thank you very much. You've been great to me all these years.
I am walking out that door.
And I won't come back. Not even if you beg me. Who's with me?
See you next week.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.